Welcome to another exciting
church worth attending.
These guys handed their asses to the Franklin School, basically.
601 Adam. Tracy Metro filling in for Teresa Strasser. Today. Good to see you, Tracy.
You too, Adam. Good morning.
Tracy's been on the show a number of times, and she's always welcome back. Teresa Strasser is doing, well, her show launches tonight, yes?
I'm not sure exactly when it launches.
I think it launches today.
That's right, tonight.
Well, we'll find exact times and channels and stuff like
she's
that.
She's doing the TMZ show with Harvey Levin that you may or may not have seen a commercial for. I think I've seen a couple that's going from internet to television. It's a syndicated show out here in Los Angeles. I think it's 6:30 on Fox. It'll probably be on a Fox affiliate somewhere in your neighborhood, and it'll probably be somewhere between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. That's what I would imagine, but you can look for it and find it.
I had a daytime talk show on NBC, and you can find it in Los Angeles at noon. And then most of the rest of the country on channel 914 at 3 in the morning. So, well, this show seems like it's going to rock.
And I do not have one.
It all depends. And the other thing is I think it has a good fighting chance because the other shows start at 7 and they're up against each other. This, at least out in Los Angeles, starts at 6:30. So its competition is the news, but that's really not the crowd they're going after. So
plus,
it's interesting.
I don't think they also, on the other shows like the Entertainment Tonight shows and that kind of thing, because I do a lot of that, you do a lot of that, they really care about either getting you back or another one of your agent's clients back. And there are a lot of puff pieces where TMZ has made its name by not effing around with you.
Right.
I don't care.
It's a totally different style.
I mean, Brad Pitt happens to be one of my favorites. That's why I always pick his name. So even if I'm saying something bad, it's because I love him. So let's say, I don't even know. Brad Pitt, me either. Although I hit on him once really drunk. If he was found out, you know, drunk with a goat, Entertainment Tonight would say animal lover Brad Pitt takes his goat out for a straw. Right.
Right.
TMZ would say
animal lover Pitt. Right.
That's why the TMZ will do so well. And one other quick note for Tracy Metro who is sitting in. One, very hot.
Seriously, anybody who has not seen you in a while, I know they always talk about your body. Your body is redonkulous.
Redonkulous?
You just went way up.
Seriously.
Wow. All right.
Can't wait for that shirt to come off, Adam, because I know it's going to happen soon, right?
It has nothing to do with that, whether you've been late already.
Usually before the streetlights.
The second thing is, a question. How sick are you of riding on the Metro?
Not sick at all.
They don't do it everywhere you go? It just doesn't bug you that much.
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Okay, real last name's Goldstein.
No, I swear. Real maiden name Weitzman, married name Metro.
Ah.
You're married?
Married.
That's good. You married into something cool.
Right? That's the only reason I married the guy.
Smart move.
No, and believe you me, because there's certain names that are deal breakers and then others that work, and then others that don't work very well with your first name. You worked out just fine.
I lucked out.
Look, you know, the greatest compliment is someone saying to you, are those your real boobs? Is that your real nose? Is that your real name? That's a compliment if, in fact, it is your real name. If you got a boob job, a nose job, and you made that name up, then it's a little bit of a slap in the face.
Right.
But if the answer is, no, these are my real boobs, then it's thank you very much.
Can I tell you, I was having a mammogram a couple of years ago, and the girl before she started goes, are those real? And I went, yeah. And literally, and then when she smashed my boob, she then goes, they are. I was like, I told you they were.
That is the greatest.
I was like, oh, my God, she liked my
greatest
boobs.
Greatest compliment you can say to anybody is, are those real fill in the blank? Teeth,
yeah.
Are your eyes really that color? I mean, when someone says, penis. Are your eyes really that color? Penis. Have you had work done on your penis?
Is that really your penis?
I've been told I have the penis of a 14-year-old. Wait a minute.
Well, you did. It just wasn't yours, you pig.
I thought they were thinking younger. Now I'm thinking smaller. Well, Danny has dried blood on his forehead. I wanted to get to that before we get to my penis.
Yeah.
I'm always in favor of the boss's penis, if that's what it takes to the boss.
The boss is tired of the taste of his own penis. Let's talk about your forehead.
You're tired of the taste of it. I'm like working for you.
I'd like to put my penis behind your forehead for just one moment, Danny.
Well, that's one thing he hasn't done with it.
Danny has dried blood, which has come down his forehead. Really,
approaching
looks,
his nose.
Looks like a lightning strike down his forehead. Now,
a little Gorbachev-like.
I see the picture. Yes.
Adam, this is radio.
It looks the same. One looks dry, the other looks
wet. Okay, so it still looks that bad?
Yes.
Good. Okay, there's a little story, if you don't mind. It's not, I just don't want to tell you what happened, because it falls into that realm that we've done here before, most bizarre ways you've ever been injured. When I tell you the story...
Danny, let me explain something quickly. You have medium and large stories. You don't have little stories. You're sort of like one of those movie theaters where you order a drink and you go, give me a small Sprite. And they go, we don't have small. We have medium, we have large, and then we have Inter Frosty Heidi and Frank.
Are you sure we're not talking about my penis again? It's just so small.
Medium and large.
All right,
so give us the medium.
I'll give you the medium. The medium is, I live in a place, and I won't mention because I love this. I like this place. And they were kind of dicks, and I wrote them a nasty letter and said, you're really lucky I like this place. I'd be suing the bejesus out of you right now, and I'm not gonna. I hate that, people who sue. I'm not that hurt. Anyway, the penthouse above me, because I can't afford a penthouse, starts leaking water through my roof so bad in so many places. It's through my clothes. You can see every drywall square that makes the ceiling. I mean, it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide after a while, after making all the calls, what do? To live with it.
What?
Now, that's coming from their bathroom, their dishwasher. Obviously, it's not raining. There's some water source up there.
The penthouse is leaking water down into the normal man's house.
Right.
So, finally, I decided to learn to live with it. Or my house, the normal guys next door. Because it was doing to everybody on the floor and all the way down to the first floor. This was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I finally...
Sounds like a pipe break, don't you think?
Well, sounds like it.
I finally decide, F it, I'm just going to live like this isn't happening. I don't care that much. It's uncomfortable. It's weird. It's probably going to smell, but they'll fix that.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the refrigerator to get something to eat, and there's a light fixture, and I don't understand. There's nothing more than a plastic cover for fluorescent lights. It's about 4 feet long by 2 feet wide, and on its own, maybe weighs a pound, 2 pounds most.
But not filled with water.
But filled with water. Oh, I got to go with 50 pounds. I'm serious. I just straight down on my head from the ceiling, 50 pounds, boom.
You just happen to be standing under it at the time.
Just as I opened the fridge, it was God's way of telling me don't eat this late at night. Because that's why I have the bodacious or whatever kind of body. I don't eat at night. Mm-hmm. I open the door. This thing, and when you say that's fair, because it's tub-shaped and about 6 inches deep.
I think it's donkalicious, by the way. But
I'll come up with a new one.
This is a fluorescent ceiling fixture. They're 4 foot bulbs, and they're probably 5-6 inches deep or something. You know, the point is, if you fill a pie tin with water, it gets heavy.
Right.
You fill 30 pie tins with water, and it hits you in the
really
head.
Heavy.
Okay, so I hit the dirt, and I get up.
Was your girlfriend there?
Yeah, but she was watching TV and just heard the thuds and what happened.
Calls her the dirt. She was underneath.
Forgive me. You know what? I haven't been on the show in a while.
When Danny's having sex, it's called hitting the dirt.
Okay.
If you're doing
mental
it right.
Yeah.
Hitting the dirt.
That's a second story from later that night that I'll tell you later.
So you go down.
Just the wet spot was caused by my head, and only a gentleman will sleep in it, so I did. So anyway, I go down. She comes up screaming, are you okay? And I'm covered. My face is covered. I've watched this twice, and then I just said, F it, because I'll tell the story in the morning. Because head cuts bleed.
Yeah.
Now, you would think that's my interesting accident story.
Mm-hmm.
It is not.
Hmm?
Would you like to know what caused my actual blood in actuality, if you really backtrack?
It was not being hit by the waterlogged fluorescent cover.
An end effect, I would think. But it's actually a dog attack.
Dog?
What?
Was drowning in the fluorescent fixture
You're
when it landed
close.
On your head. What happened?
The fancy ass dog, I'm guessing, in the penthouse chewed through rubber tubing that like was connected to something huge, like a fire hose type water.
Mm-hmm.
That before anybody could do anything, nobody could do anything for a while.
Was nobody upstairs in the penthouse?
I'm not sure, because eventually the ladies came down to apologize, and they were shooed away by somebody, like the handyman, who was, this is why I'm mad, this is the only person I could get a hold of, was the handyman. I said, they kept saying you have to call an ambulance. I said, I don't want to call an ambulance. There'll be a report. I don't want to sue you. Mm-hmm. They'll make me take pictures. They get them in the paper. I like you guys. Don't make me call an ambulance. Just get somebody up here to see that this happened, please. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't. There was no number to call. Mm-hmm. So I had to call an ambulance. Now there's a report.
Mm-hmm.
So the girls came down. The handyman shied them away. And I didn't see it. Luckily, Amy did. So I went out in the hallway and I said, dude, I'm not hurt. I'm not going to call a lawyer.
As there's blood, like, gushing down his face.
But I'm not hurt. There's a tiny little wound. I'd love to show off you. I didn't know you were going to be new and hot. But you're married.
Oh, you never met Tracy?
No, no. We've met in passing. Yes, we have. We met at another station that I worked for. And you worked for a different station, but we shared a building.
Maybe.
But anyway, they came down to apologize. And I wanted everybody to know, I hate those kind of people that sue. I'm not hurt. I'm just bleeding.
So, and it is a good story.
I said to him, ladies, really, you're way more embarrassed than I am injured. Mm-hmm. Relax. I'm not mad at all. Nobody's calling any lawyers. Nobody's doing anything. Go back to bed and please don't be embarrassed.
What time did this happen?
2 o'clock in the morning.
2 a.m. You're getting something to eat at 2 a.m. last night?
Well, I'm not sure what time it happened. I know that the fireman wrote on the report 1:50 a.m. But it could have taken a while for him to get there.
Fireman came out. This is 4 hours ago.
If that,
Oh, okay, good. I'm getting tired just hearing it. I don't mean tired of hearing it. I just mean I can't believe. Were you up from that point on?
You didn't get any sleep, exactly.
Bad time.
So the thing is, so that is why I feel that it's the strangest injury in the world. That it's actually all this blood, and I'll put the pictures up on my MySpace later, which is MySpace.com/Bonaducci318. I'll put them up on AdamCarolla.com if you want to see them. But I think the interesting thing is that I was attacked by a dog I never saw who never got closer to me than, say, 150 feet.
Right.
That's technically, wouldn't you agree, why I'm bleeding?
Well, if the dog wasn't born, you wouldn't have blood streaming down your forehead.
Right.
So I would do that connection,
Thank you.
And the good news is we don't need to put the dog down because really it didn't do it to you.
If it otherwise, killed a rubber human being,
this is the equivalent of vehicular manslaughter if a dog was driving.
Right.
Dog did not bite the kid and kill the kid. The dog backed over the kid in his SUV.
Or vehicular dog slaughter had I been driving and that little bastard bit through the pipe and did that to my house and head.
Tracy Metro, well, you don't mess with a man's house and head.
Dude, there was blood everywhere. This is the third washing. There was blood everywhere.
I liked house and head better than house and home, too, or whatever it is, whatever the cliche is, because your house and head, that's about all you got, really, as a human being, you know? And people can go, he still has his house and head, would work nicely, this is a crime against house and head. You know what I mean? Like, that covers everything.
If you've actually kind of gone off kilter a little bit, you know, he's got his house, not so much in the head.
Not so much in the head, yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Like, you're losing it.
Because I always feel good when if I come in the morning and I capture Carolla's attention, it's like, I started my day great. So I feel that I have. But I actually now feel terrible.
Self-inflicted wound.
I feel really terrible now.
Why?
Well, because if we call it the injury to the head, now I don't have the head. My house is 8,000 square feet.
Right, which you no longer have.
I live in an 800 square foot one bedroom apartment where I was attacked by a dog I never saw.
Wait a minute, I think I can modify.
So I have no head and no house.
This is a
tack. But maybe you're getting some?
Condo and cabeza.
See, that's why he's the ace man.
I like the alliteration.
Thank you. Tracy Metro is here. We need to take a break. Tracy filling in for Teresa Strasser, who's doing her TMZ show this evening. Tracy can be found. Are you still hosting the DNET, HDNET, Mark Cuban's network?
No, that was a while back. I have coming out on Discovery. It's called Green Gadgets, about eco-friendly gadgets.
Oh, neat. Seen that, yes. Or I've seen spots on it. I want to know about that. Also, are you going to be doing Gold Rush?
We did Gold Rush, Mark Burnett's Gold Rush, in the fall. I co-hosted it with Mark Steinis from Entertainment Tonight. And I believe we're coming back in the winter. I think we're shooting another round.
That was a good show.
Yeah, I want to know at some point about these the whole green stuff, because you're a little bit of an expert on that. I have much interest in that topic. Sean William Scott. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Sean William Scott, Stifler. You know him. Well, he's been in 1,000 movies now. He keeps getting called Stifler. Maybe that's just me. Sean William Scott, Mr. Woodcock, the new movie, Billy Bob Thornton, is going to be on the show next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show. And now, from the American Pie franchise, the Dukes of Hazzard, Road Trip, and most unforgettably, Dude, Where's My Car?
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet!
What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet! What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet! What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet! What about mine?
Dude!
From the new movie Mr. Woodcock, out this Friday, Sean William Scott on the Adam Carolla Show.
Sean is going to be on the phone in just a minute. Just enough time to do a little recap of yesterday over Kimmel's.
That's right. How'd that go?
Oh, Jimmy, well, I'm angry at Kimmel. And I'll tell you why. I love a good...
Lover spot.
I love a good beer buzz in the afternoon. Nothing better than that daytime buzz. Tracy Metro in filling in for Teresa Strasser. Teresa...
What a delight to fill in for her.
...is doing... We're happy to have you, and I should say luckiest... ...has done the show on many occasions. Teresa is doing her TMZ show, which is airing tonight. I love... About the lights are up, sun's up buzz that's better than the lights down buzz. I mean, we all know the out to dinner buzz, yeah. And that's a fine buzz.
Oh, that one's the put you to sleep buzz. That's the best one.
But by the pool is a cool buzz.
Mm.
And you don't get to do it that often because hopefully you're not sitting around just nursing a fifth of gin while the sun's overhead and you're going about your day. But
so you're saying my gram and a half of pure heroin at 12:30 is wrong.
I'm saying I don't judge.
Oh, shut up.
It's
wrong,
so wrong
in the eyes
right.
of your family.
Adam Carolla,
I don't judge. I can't.
Judgy judger over there.
We got no show. If this guy doesn't start judging almost immediately, we're screwed.
I do nothing but judge. I guess you're right.
Did you just snort?
Yeah, that's when I think something's really funny.
Believe me, this is a personal best. It's never made it this far. Never made it in the 620
again.
Portion of the show. I went over to Kimmel's house yesterday, and I was going to catch my nice daytime beer buzz, mm-hmm. which I do over there. Now, I walk over to Kimmel's house and watch football, and Kimmel is such a generous guy that he has, in the two rooms where TV is being viewed, he has a combined 10 TV sets, and his house is open to TV parties whether he's there or not.
Love that. Good friend.
Yeah, if he's not there, then his cousin Sal opens up the place at 9 in the morning, and everyone just shows up, and it's neither here nor there if Jimmy's not there. As a matter of fact, sometimes people don't even ask, and sometimes around 3 o'clock, someone will say, is Jimmy here? And someone will go, I don't know. And then someone else will go, I think he was here earlier. And then someone will correct him and go, no, he's in Vegas with Sarah. Never even there, just eating him out of house and head, as we spoke of
anyway. Exactly.
So he's over there, and because it's the big kickoff yesterday, opening day, he's got the pizza oven fired up. And Jimmy is going sick with the pizza oven. Now,
he
can cook like an MF-er, and he loves to cook, and he's making pizzas, and he has the brick-fired oven with the big chunk of oak lit in the back. It is amazing.
Wow, how fancy.
And they're coming right out of the backyard on the long wooden paddle, and they're walking right through the house. Now, there's 23 guys sitting there who are all hungry, and by the time the first pizza comes out, everyone's like a raccoon in a dumpster. It gets devoured. Then the second pizza, then the third pizza, somewhere between pizza 14 and pizza 19, people start slowing down a little. We're still guys. We're still competitive. We still want the slice of meatball pie that he's just brought out. But we've had 9 pieces now. And we're starting to slow down. Right. And then it goes from my frenzy to who's going to eat this pizza as the next, because Jimmy does not slow down with the pizzas. The mouths slow down, but the pizzas keep coming. He's opened up.
What kind of pizzas? Tell me.
He had the pepperoni pizza. He had the mushroom pizza. He had my favorite, which is the meatball pizza, just thick slices of meatball. And he had the sausage. And then he had every other combination. He had the mushroom with the meatball and the mushroom with the pepperoni. And just
he had the vegetable.
Always thin-ish on in the pizza oven that he has.
It's a little crunchy.
He doesn't do it in a pan or anything. The beauty is you have just that very wafer-thin charcoal flavor on the bottom of the pizza because the stone that it's sitting on is molten hot. And just the thickness of a business card of black on the bottom and just in certain spots on the bottom. So when you take a bite, you get just a hint of that sort of charcoal-y, woody, briquette-y kind of smell as you bite into the pizza.
Sounds delicious.
Oh. Now, here's where I'm mad at him.
Right.
I had 11 pieces of pizza and announced to a stunned room at 3:30 in the afternoon, I'm not bussed. I had 7 beers and 11 pieces of pizza. I feel nothing.
Wow.
And I'm the kind of guy where if the sun is shining and I down a couple of beers, I'll get a nice buzz going. It's a different thing. For some reason, you know, you can sit at a nightclub and drink beers. You can drink 5 beers and be like, psh, nothing. But you sit by the pool with the sun on your forehead and you have 2 beers, you get that, wow. You stand up to go walk back in the house and you do that little thing and you go, wow, I got a little buzz going. That daytime buzz, it's easier to cop a buzz for some reason during
Especially
the day.
Especially in the sun.
Stomach's empty or I don't know, whatever it is. I had drank a 6-pack of beer and had 0 buzz going because I ate 2.5 pizzas in the time I drank the 7.5 beers. Now I had a huge gut on me. I was, my belly was just filled with pizza. It was a big sponge just wicking up every ounce of alcohol that hit it. And I thought, well, I need more beer if I'm going to catch a buzz, but my belly is full. So I thought, I need to take a few shots of like grain alcohol. I need something from a cider jug or something.
I'm glad you said that. I would have no idea what a beer buzz at noon or any other time of day seems like. Who has that kind of time? And I was joking, of course, about the heroin, but I drink because I hate the taste of liquor. I hate it, and I'm a raging alcoholic. So what I do is I drink straight vodka in one sip and keep drinking it until I feel buzzed from this sip. Then I can put it down, and I will continually get drunker for the next 2 or 3 hours while drinking Coca-Cola.
Right.
I'll drink half a fifth in one chug just to get it out of the way because I hate it.
I tell you, it is so nice to be a lightweight.
Yeah, it is.
I can just do two shots and I'm done.
Saves money, saves calories.
Yeah, yes.
Sean William Scott's on the phone, by the way. Sean?
No lightweight.
I wouldn't think so.
What did I miss about the alcohol?
Well, I said I was over at
Kimmel. I'm guessing nothing.
I saw you on Kimmel. Was it Thursday night or Friday night? Thursday.
I think it was last Friday night. I was talking about my Bridget the Midget story.
Right. Yeah, I was over at Kimmel's.
For my brother's bachelor party. We had a good time with Bridget.
I was at Kimmel's eating pizza and drinking beer yesterday, and I didn't get buzzed because I ate too much pizza. This is why the terrorists hate us, by the way. This is our biggest problem, not catching buzzes because we're too full. Hey, Sean?
Yeah?
Where are you calling from?
I'm in New York right now.
Ah, and Mr. Woodcock is in theaters this Friday.
Mr. Woodcock, yeah, Billy Bob Thornton, and there's a chance for me to do a movie called Mr. Woodcock.
I'm a big fan of Billy Bob Thornton.
Me too.
And Susan Sarandon's in it.
I spoke about this on the Jimmy Kimmel show, but I never thought that Billy Bob Thornton was going to have to hang out with me in his trailer, and I figured we'd be talking about a bunch of weird things, you know, and we ended up watching American Idol. Like, have you seen this thing, this American Idol? I'm like, not really, Billy Bob Thornton. He goes, we should watch this. So we ended up like watching, you know, when Bo Bice and Carrie Underwood were on. Like, he was so psyched about this show, and so we ended up watching every episode.
Well, you love this then. Constantine was in my apartment day before yesterday by mistake.
Really?
Yeah. He lives. I'm in that temporary housing I was just telling you about.
Uh-huh.
He just came in the wrong door, and I went, hey, aren't you Constantine? He went, hey, aren't you that guy from the Partridge Family? And then we waved goodbye.
Didn't Constantine, like, perform in New York or perform on stage and he fell off or something like that? And then I heard some story about that.
That's how he got his cleft in his chin.
Dude, I had 6 seconds with the man in my apartment. That's my entire knowledge of this guy.
And isn't he on a soap now, I think?
Yes, he's on a soap. Maybe stepped on a bar soap and went off the edge of stage with Ann Margaret. Hey, Sean, I'm interested in your past. You're from Cottage Grove, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And how did it start for you? I mean, I know the American Pie thing is what got you launched, but how did it work? What, did you go to college out there, and then when did you come out to California, and how'd the journey go?
I was going to play baseball at, in Minnesota, and I just didn't want to play sports anymore. My brother was one of the guys that helped start the Onion newspaper. And so
Really?
He had a big influence on me. He was a film theory major, and so I just kind of winged it. I graduated early. I didn't know anything about acting, and I moved out to L.A., and I thought when you got an agent, they were just going to hook you up a job. So I was like, cool, what am I working with Tom Cruise?
Because I know that's happened to me.
Baywatch. Right. Like, what's going on here? So I pretty much started out that way, and then 3 years later, I was lucky enough to get American Pie.
Well, it seems to me that you have what we call it. I mean, you have
I mean, you know what? I'm pretty lucky, too.
We say that I'm doing a talent kind of talk show. Mm-hmm. We just finished the first season for VH1. And I kept thinking to and telling the writers, stop using the you have it and we're looking for it. It's a 50s term. But I got used to it. I'm really happy to hear you say it. And it's like the Supreme Court's judgment on pornography when they finally said, okay, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Stifler
it's
has it.
It's that mercurial thing.
And you, buddy, you have it. You absolutely have it. You jump off the friggin' screen.
Well, what I mean is they're people that act, they're like Paul Giamatti or something, where they're great actors and thus they find work in different roles. Whereas Sean William Scott is Sean William Scott, but that's all right.
Because we like it.
We like
a lot.
It. Thank you.
Oh, man, that's a pretty nice compliment. Now, you know what? I think the thing for me is I don't feel bad making fun of myself. And I like to laugh. So, I don't know. I think I just feel appreciative just to have a job.
I
work at the Home Depot in L.A.
Oh, you did? Which one?
The one in Glendale. I used to push carts out there. For about 8 months, I was the cart pusher. Number one cart pusher, by the way, and won a couple awards. And then they pulled me into...
You got the golden mule.
I'm going to guess you've met...
feeding churros to people.
Really?
I'm going to guess you've met Carolla 500 times. If you worked at a Home Depot for more than a day, you've met Carolla twice.
You love Home Depot, huh?
Oh, my God.
Although I would have recognized the white guy at the Home Depot over there off of...
nobody works at Home Depot. I don't know how I feel about this, but, like, nobody does anything at Home Depot. They just walk around with their tool belts. Like, I remember the manager said, hey, we're going to promote you. We've been seeing how hard you've been working out here in the parking lot. You're going to be a plumber. I was like, awesome. I don't know anything about plumbing. He's like, don't worry about it. You're going to have a toll.
Neither do any of their employees.
And I'm orange apron on, and I'm in the plumbing department.
Well, what year were you over there? Is that the one on San Fernando or off of San Fernando?
Yeah. I was there in San Fernando. I was there, probably 98.
I have been there, and I guarantee I've seen you there. Now, here's the thing, too, about Home Depot, as I've said before. I've been in the Home Depot so many times, I know where everything is. Yeah. And I'm the kind of guy who walks around with the tape measure on his belt with some authority.
Oh, no, he's not kidding.
So people stop me, and they go, excuse me, can you tell me where the plumbing fittings are? And I go, oh, I don't work here. And they go, oh, and then I go, aisle 19, you want the couplers or the elbows?
And then they'll go over and show them how to use them.
You make things easier.
Yes. Can I tell you, I wear orange a lot, and I've worn an orange coat. I've worn an orange coat to Home Depot, and I've been stopped. I know where things are?
Not
just because you wear the right color.
Right.
You know what's really sad? Okay, we're all going to do this story. It wasn't Home Depot, but it's been a busboy. And it was funny because, you know, people first come up and they say, hey, weren't you the guy from the Partridge Family? And I say, yeah. They say, and now you're the busboy? And then I say, yeah. That's what I did for 2.5 years.
Well, he would get, hey, aren't you going to be Stifler all the time in the parking lot?
Hey, let's talk about how much we all want to have sex with Susan Sarandon, even though she's like 80.
Oh,
nice rack, though.
All we talked about, Billy Bob and I, and we would say it in front of her. We didn't care. We were like the same. Is there any way we can convince you to just to fool around a little something, you know, just to give us something, you know?
just to have it on your resume.
Robin showed up, and he's like, 9 feet tall?
I was going to say, her commie bastard husband is gigantic.
Right.
He's huge, dude, yeah. So, but yeah, she's hot.
Hey, Sean, the movie is out this Friday, and all I know is Sean William Scott has a pretty good batting average, and Billy Bob Thornton has a very good batting average, and Susan Sarandon. has a very good batting average. And at the end of the day, and I promised myself I'd never say at the end of the day, but all the commercials look great for everything. You can't tell what you want to see and don't want to see. It comes down to, does this guy pick good movies? Was the last five he was in interesting, or a lot of them dogs? You can't tell with a lot of actors, but I'm putting my money on Sean William Scott and Billy Bob. And plus, they both have three or four names.
I hope it works out. It was at least fun to make, but that's awesome, man.
Well, that's this Friday. And Sean, come see us in person when you're in town.
Yeah, I love that, man. I appreciate that. And just, we will take a little tour in Home Depot.
Thank you.
I worked at California Pizza Kitchen as well.
So Which one?
The one in Glendale.
Right there.
Yeah. Oh, right there.
My old neck of the woods back when I had a home.
Across from the Sears and the IKEA, right. Or the IKEA. Or
as humans say it.
Right.
IKEA.
All right, Sean, good talking to you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much, man.
Take care. You know, as a real-life drunk from the San Fernando Valley, I think he was sorely overlooked at the Academy Awards for Dude, Where's My Car?
Right?
You don't know how serious of an issue that can be.
I must have crossed paths with him out at that Home Depot.
The second he said it, I said, you've met Carolla.
It wasn't my number one Home Depot. Let me explain what I have with the Home Depot. I have a relationship with Home Depot much like mid-level mob guys have with women. They have their wife, the woman they're married to. For me, that was the Hollywood Home Depot, but I have my gourmand spread around town. I have the Glendale one. Now, the Hollywood one doesn't know I'm seeing the Glendale one.
Right.
And the Glendale one has not heard about the one in Burbank. You understand?
And as long as I can keep them separate,
everything's cool. But every once in a while, I sneak off and see the one out in Glendale or Eagle Rock.
Do you ever, get a little dirty, go downtown to the Union?
Well, there are things that the Van Nuys Home Depot will do that the Hollywood one would never dream of.
So true.
Wear a dress? What? I took a, I'm not handy at all. I mean, not even a
little bit. Like, screw it, can't do a light bulb, right?
I'm just saying aisle three, Danny.
For me, in general?
Aisle three.
Yeah, well,
that's the one Van Nuys has.
I could screw in a light bulb if just electricity didn't terrify me. Electricity gets to my house by magic. I don't understand any of that stuff. I can't fix a single thing. I'm not that kind of guy at all. But I decided one day, I do tile work in my backyard by a fountain, and it was so gorgeous. And it seemed so easy, except for cutting the edges to make them rounded. Mm-hmm. So I went to Home Depot on my very own, and my wife thought I was having an affair, and she wasn't right till 2 years later. I went to Home Depot and took a class in tiling, and it was the wrong day, and it was in Spanish.
Oh, God.
But when I started teaching, I thought, this could be in any language at all. I'm never tiling anything ever. This is far harder than it looks.
Yeah.
But it was. The Saturday class was in Spanish. The Sunday class was in English.
We need to take ourselves a quick break. Tracy Metro here filling in for Teresa Strasser and doing a fine, fine job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lee Steinberg, the NFL super agent. Lee is basically the inspiration for the movie Jerry Maguire. He was, I don't believe he still is, but was the biggest agent in sports.
Right.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just say sports, not just the NFL. Sports with over 150 clients and quite a business. We'll talk to him next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. With an early peek at this morning's program, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Booyah, beeps! Today, NFL super agent Lee Steinberg. A visit from Maverick, the Def Red Guy. Another edition of Music Monday. And we'll recap last week's NFL picks. NFL picks? Oh, football! Yeah, the old pigskin. Man, can you believe the Minnesota's beat the Braves by, 3 goals? Crazy, man! Okay.
Thank you, Jack. Phone number's 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Lee Steinberg, super agent on the phone. The inspiration for Jerry Maguire. One of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
I never think of it as one of my favorite movies because I always think, oh, Raging Bull or Goodfellas. But when I think about it, Jerry Maguire. Hey, Lee.
Good morning.
Great to speak to you. By the way, if people want to see what Lee Steinberg looks like or what his office looks like or what I look like in Lee Steinberg's office smashing things, they can go to AdamCarolla.com and see the Man Show bit we did where I tried out for the Oakland Raiders. Did you ever see that, Lee?
I saw it in real life. And were you playing yesterday, incidentally?
It seemed like I should have been playing for the Raiders. They were that bad. I must say that Lee Stein... I was going to call you Steinbrenner for some reason. I was thinking of George, maybe. Lee Steinberg has done $1 billion worth of contracts. And as I look down here, not only represented Steve Young and Troy Aikman and guys like that, but Lennox Lewis and Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, again.
I guess either I forgot or I didn't know you did people in the boxing world as well.
Well, actually, if you can do one sport, you can do every sport. And they all sort of follow the same dynamics.
Did you have NBA guys and baseball players as well?
As a matter of fact, we had a huge baseball practice. We had players like Manny Ramirez and Pudge Rodriguez and Sean Green. But my partner in baseball went and now is the part owner and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
So he moved onward and upward. And Lee, how did you get started? Because it's a little bit of a unique business, and it seems like you're one of the pioneers of it, doing sports agent.
I was a dorm counselor in an undergraduate dorm working my way through law school at UC Berkeley. I'd been student body president in a time a little different than today in the history of the nation's campuses, but they moved the freshman football team into the dorm, and one of the students was Steve Bartkowski, who in 1975 became the very first player picked in the NFL draft. And
Atlanta Falcons, right?
Atlanta Falcons, first pick, first round.
Thank you.
I traveled the world the year after I got out of law school, and I was in Egypt, jumped into the Nile River off of a boat, got real sick, found out there were about 100 diseases endemic to the banks of the Nile River, lost a lot of weight, came back, couldn't take a corporate job offer, and Bart asked me to represent him. We got the largest rookie contract in NFL history, and Adam, we fly into Atlanta to sign the contract. There are Klieg lights flashing in the sky like for a movie premiere.
Really?
A huge crowd is pressed up against the police line, and the first thing we hear is, we interrupt the Johnny Carson show to bring you a special news bulletin. Steve Bartkowski and his attorney, Lee Steinberg, have just arrived at the Atlanta airport.
Wow.
We switch you live for an in-depth interview.
Well, that was 1975. Do you remember what the contract was?
It was something that made headlines across the country. It was this amazing number, which was a four-year contract, which totaled $600,000 for 4 years.
Wow.
And the bonus was $250,000. Remember in Austin Powers, Dr. Evil?
Yes.
$600,000. And his first year salary was $40,000. And people thought that we had committed grand theft.
So $600,000 and then a bonus for 4 years.
Inclusive in the $600,000 was a $250,000.
Ah, I see.
And that was it.
So about $150,000 a year. And now what's the league minimum? What's the least the guy's earning the least on any team making? $300,000, $275,000?
Roughly that for a rookie, for a veteran, $750,000. But to give you a framework of comparison, the very first pick in the first round this year is not signed. The second pick is, though, and where Bartkowski had $250,000 in guaranteed money, the first pick got $30 million.
Well, let me ask you this then, Lee Steinberg, NFL super agent. What, for you, and take off your agent hat, which may be a yarmulke, for one moment here. And just be honest, at a certain point, you know, you hear about those days where back in the days, guys were getting paid $6,500 a year and breaking all their bones and having to work summer jobs just to make ends meet. And the managers, the team owners were taking advantage of them and treating them like animals. Then at a certain point, people start making a few bucks. Now you hear about guys getting $30 million and their bus. It doesn't work out at all. Feels like the owners are getting ripped off.
Well, actually,
was there a point when it seemed about right?
Here's the thing to remember. First of all, football is an irrational system because the contracts are not guaranteed. The salaries aren't. And it's the very first player in the first round who gets that guaranteed money. By the time the player drafted in the seventh round is picked, he gets about $50,000 guaranteed. So it's a pyramid there, and it slopes.
Right.
The money expanded because of television. Now, in 1976, or when I began, each team, as its share of the NFL contract, got $2 million per season per team.
Mm-hmm.
As three networks changed to 200 competing networks, and the competition for any kind of eyeballs got fierce, sports began to become so heavily competed on as a loss leader product so that promos could be showed on a Sunday afternoon for primetime programming. What happened is Fox jumped into the mix and everyone else. $2 million a year went to 17 by 1989. By 1995, it was $40 million per team per season for national TV.
Mm-hmm.
Then it jumped to $73 million. The last contract cumes out at close to $120 million.
Per team.
Per team, per season, just from national television.
By the end of this conversation, $200 billion.
So understand that what's happened is that we have incredible amounts of revenue flowing in a sport like professional football, and franchise values that for two expansion teams in 1976 were $16.5 million for Tampa Bay and Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
There are now four teams over $1 billion.
Four teams. What are those four teams? Dallas, Patriots.
Washington is number one. Dallas is number two. And it's New England and Philadelphia.
Wow. Are you all having as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff?
Hey, Lee, we got to go to break. Love to see you in person in here sometime soon. And if people want to see Lee in person, then go to AdamCarolla.com and watch me try out for the Oakland Raiders.
Plus, we don't mean to cut you off of this. We have to pay our bills, so we have to take commercial break. It costs $6 whole.
The one last thing we'll talk about sometime is charitable and community programs the athletes do, because this is not all about money. The athletes actually...
Yeah, but it's still fun to talk about the good these guys do. I'd rather hear it. I could hear it when they beat up a stripper or fight a dog.
That's something I know about.
All right, Lee Steinberg, everyone. Good to speak to you again, Lee.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
We'll be back with the news in Tracy Metro next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Football in America is a special game.
As week one of the NFL comes to a close, we'll find out who's paying who when we recap last week's NFL picks. The Deaf Frat Guys in the studio.
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
It's another Music Monday. What song would you hate to hear blasting out of your mom or dad's car when they're picking you up after the first day of school? And from the Oakland Raiders, Kirk Morrison.
Touchdown, Raiders!
Phone numbers 866 and 901 Adam. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
That it is. Tracy Metro filling in and quite nicely for our own Teresa Strasser, who's working on her new TMZ TV show.
Huh?
That's I already forgotten about it. Five nights a week, syndicated 6:30 out here on Los Angeles, in Los Angeles, I should say, on Fox 11. TMZ.com is where you go for your local listings, but we can't live in the past. There's a future of this show. Her name is Tracy Metro, and she has the news.
Teresa Strasser is on assignment, and now the news with some other broad.
We did that on Thursday, so we didn't know.
It's Tracy Metro. Come on, people. All right, here we go. The former Mrs. K-Fed, Britney Spears, opened up the Video Music Awards last night with an incredibly lackluster performance of her song, Gimme More. Now, I didn't see the awards last night, but according to TMZ and producer Angie, Britney didn't really seem to be into the performance. Check this out. She even forgot her lyrics to her own song.
Yeah.
Which is probably very easy to do.
Well, when you're lip syncing, I mean, I watched it in real time because I wanted to see it. I knew people would be talking about it. It was on at 7 o'clock, and my wife and I tuned in. And I think glazed over would be...
I watched it on TMZ. She couldn't have been any less interested. It was like she was filing her fingernails.
Yeah, but it did seem... It seemed chemically induced to me.
See, I feel better about that. Because I root for Britney. I want the other three horsewomen of the apocalypse to all die. Mm-hmm. But I think Britney is just having a little breakdown, too young to be too pregnant. The other ones are all herpes-infested whores, as far as I'm concerned. I think Britney had a hard time with this Kevin guy, and life was a drag. She went old crazy. I don't think she's a drug addict. I don't think any of that stuff, and I root for her. So let me just ask this question.
Misguided.
If she was glazed over and missed the performance. Anybody in this room ever forget where they lived?
No.
I forget my address on occasion, but I can find my way
right,
home.
Right, but you have for at least a moment forgotten where you live.
I just forget the address part. I can find my house.
All right, have you ever forgotten what state you're in? You ever said, like, rock on Cleveland and you were in Wyoming?
I've done rock on Wyoming and Cleveland, but no, not the other way around.
See what I mean? I'm rooting for the girl, so I want to point out these things happen.
I know. Here's the problem. A couple of problems with Britney, as I've said many times. Mariah Carey can make a comeback because Mariah Carey's throat was touched by the hand of God. Yeah. And so can Whitney Houston. And so can Terrell Owens. When you're an amazing athlete or you have an amazing voice, an amazing what we'll call gift, then there's if you have it, there's something to come back
two.
Right. If you were sort of manufactured, I hate to say it, he's a nice guy, but I remember a few years ago people saying, hey, what's up with Pauly Shore? When's he going to get another break? And I said, never.
Right.
And they said, why not? And I said, well, he's not funny. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, he never was.
Here's what's funny. I literally was thinking Pauly Shore as you were going into that sentence. Exactly the same person I was thinking.
Shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Bingo.
Him and 1,000 other guys, but nothing to get back to. Richard Pryor can set himself on fire and then at some point come back because there's something to come back to.
Right.
There's something called talent. There's something to get to. Britney Spears doesn't have the chops, doesn't have the pipes, can't come back to it. She was manufactured in the first place. Now, whoever was manufacturing her is not able to manufacture anymore. She's not agreeing. She's not going along with it. She's too doped up to go through the countless hours. Look, to become Britney Spears, you better spend a lot of time on the treadmill, a lot of time rehearsing with your dancers,
and
your choreography, a lot of whatever. Now you have Britney Spears who thinks she's Whitney Houston, which is, I can do a few rails and my pipes ain't going to let me down. Well, she doesn't have the pipes. So she's out
there. Or the body now.
She's
not that she looked bad. She had two kids. She looks fine.
She looks okay. My wife had two kids. She's 41 years old and a size zero.
She looked fine.
I hate her.
She looked fine, but not good enough to just be in a bra and panties.
No, she's a great big fan.
For 5 minutes on stage. She slept, walked, and sort of limped her way through it. It was, I mean, crazy lip syncing, which is insane because even when she's saying, like, thank you or being breathy, that's not even being picked up on the microphone. And
don't veer from the words and go and do an au to the crowd if you're lip syncing because that's...
It doesn't pick it up.
You don't hear it. You just see this mouth go and this should be perfect for radio in the middle of a song.
It seemed like she drank herself a nice big methadone smoothie before she hit the stage. And from just the viewer, just from the eyes of this broadcaster, she looked like she was medicated.
Yeah.
Because if you're not medicated, adrenaline and nerves kick in. And when adrenaline and nerves kick in, they force a certain performance. Speaking of Danny saying, I hear Cleveland knows how to rock and roll. It's happened to all of us where you're standing backstage. You're going to bring out some band or make some announcement or do something. I've done it at 1,000 concerts and there's biggest I've ever done was RFK Stadium with maybe 55,000 people, but I've done
my neighborhood, Washington D.C.
Thousand
Madison Square Gardens, Guns N' Roses.
You
they
right?
Hated
you
me so much.
You the point is you're standing backstage and someone's going, "What are you going to do out there?" And you go, "I'm going to go out there, just going to say hi, and I'm going to bring out the band." 10 seconds later, it's like, "Hey, New York!" Because you walk out on stage,
there's
15 or 20,000 people clapping their hands. A surge hits you. It's a surge. You can't help. It's like saying, "Don't sweat when you're nervous." You can't tell your armpits not to sweat. You get hit with a surge of something called adrenaline, and that adrenaline supersizes
you.
It courses through you and supersizes everything you do. So when you're out on stage, boom! I don't care if halfway into the act you turn your ankle and have a compound fracture. You'll go right through.
I know people.
You'll
have done
push
it.
Right through the act, and then you'll go off stage and be like, "Oh my God, my bone is sticking out from where my ankle should have been." Happens all the time. Britney did not have that surge. Now, here's what happens. That surge can be medically quelled. You can throw a medical blanket over that surge. She looked like she had a medicated blanket that doused her adrenaline flame. That was not the person
right.
who was living in the moment. She was going through what it seems like to me is some
it was
people
like she was marking her performance the way she danced. It was kind of like, "I'm kind of dancing."
People get nervous, and what they do is they take a pill or two to calm the nerves, and that pill sometimes calms the adrenaline. She seems like she took 5 or 6 pills to calm the nerves, and it deadened the
right.
performance.
Totally.
She was not responsive. She, for those of you who didn't see it, you ever see cheerleaders or girls doing a dance recital or dance routine, and there's the one heavyset white chick who's a half step behind, and when all the other girls are going down, touching their palm on the floor and then going up to the sky with their hand, she goes down about 3 foot from the floor and comes up
right.
just a little over her forehead when her hand's like, every movement is about 30% of what everyone around them is doing. And the problem is they hire professional dancers, and these professional dancers have that adrenaline burst because for them, they haven't been on stage in a while. This is a huge deal. So they're all to the nines. Their moves are bigger and bolder and crisper and showier, and they're totally into it. You're standing in between them, and now your lackluster moves look that much smaller around everyone else who's busting their ass because they're hungry and they have adrenaline.
There's one other thing, and I agree with everything you said, but there is one other, and I think major problem to her comeback. Failure to go away.
Mm.
How can you possibly come back if you don't go away?
Well,
she needs to vanish for a minimum of 5 years.
Her career went away, but she didn't go away.
Right.
You're right.
And I will tell you this, Britney Spears, without the adrenaline, there can be no comeback.
Milk toast.
I mean, that's all you have. All you have is a work ethic. You have a chick who's, if she was hanging around a high school in Florida or Louisiana, she'd be a good 7, 7.5. You have a chick who, if she was entering a local singing competition, would be somewhere in the middle of the pack, maybe 5th.
Yeah.
You have someone who only has packaging, hard work, and extra hours. You remove the extra hours and you replace them with the late night hours at the club. You remove the adrenaline from Britney Spears, you have nothing anymore.
Forget, Christina Aguilera went crazy for a moment. And
but that girl
that's
can
set
sing.
Of pipes, and that's on a little white girl, comes back, she has 900 piercings, and then one day she doesn't. It doesn't matter. She still had the pipes no matter
you
what she did.
And the packaging. I mean, that she is the whole hot
right.
over that one.
You have, with Britney Spears minus the adrenaline, you have, back to Lee Steinberg and his NFL, you have a slow, white receiver who has a bad work ethic. Now, nothing.
Right.
The work ethic was all the dude had. You remove that, now you got a slow white guy.
Now, we not only did, I mean, and I only saw the performance online, but not only did we not like it, but neither did Sarah Silverman. Listen to this.
Mm.
Yeah.
Britney Spears, everyone. Wow. She is amazing. I mean, she is 25 years old, and she's already accomplished everything she's going to accomplish in her life.
True, but harsh.
True, but harsh. God loves Sarah.
Okay, well, also at the VMAs, which, incidentally, were at the Palms Casino in Vegas, Kid Rock allegedly clocked Tommy Lee. Now, according to the rap producer Rich Nice, who I've never heard of him before. Have you guys heard of him?
Yeah, Nice. I think I saw his name in a porno or two.
Yeah.
Well, according to Rich Nice, it looked like Tommy Lee initiated it because Kid Rock was ignoring him, and he went on to say that, Rich Nice actually went on to say that Kid hit him the first time with a backhand, so I'm wondering if he was bitch slapped.
You're bitch slapped right there, absolutely.
And the Las Vegas Metro Police cited Kid Rock with a misdemeanor. Of course, they had to find him first, so there was a little bit of, a manhunt.
I happen to dig Tommy. I like Kid Rock, and the thing is, guys from Detroit will hit first. Little guys like me, I have never let a man finish the sentence, want to step outside. On stuh, I've hit them over the head with a beer bottle. I'm just too little to be polite. Tommy Lee will go outside with you, and so will Kid Rock. But my money would have been on Lee. So right. My guess is he got smacked in a busy club and security came and there was no real fight. Because I had to back Tommy.
I know.
Because he comes on this show.
He was it's unfortunate when a guy was saying stub, but it was for stub. He was going to say, you want a stub in order to get back into the theater. And Danny hit him with a beer bottle.
Dude, I've hit women with bottles for less than that kind of talk.
Dee Dee?
Yeah?
You say Brittany and Chris Angel were stoned this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. We were over at the Palms on Friday night just making our football bets. Mm-hmm. And they were walking around. But they were so, slurring. It was amazing.
Well, that's the other thing. Dee Dee's calling from Vegas, obviously. You know, somebody said that she was out partying till about 2 and change on Friday night. And then on Saturday night, she was out partying till 3 and change. And somebody needed to get hold of her and go, listen, sweetie, it's go time. You have 5 minutes. Probably more like 4 minutes on Sunday to either impress the bejesus out of America or climb back into a hole. Right. And what you do for the next 4 minutes on Sunday night for that little window on four could be worth millions and millions of dollars to you, literally. And I'm not exaggerating.
No.
How about for one weekend, just this weekend, we don't get to Vegas on Friday. We hit a rehearsal hall Friday, and we stay in it in Los Angeles. We will bring you out Sunday afternoon, and we're going to rehearse again. I need 48 hours for you to make millions and millions of dollars. She instead chose to party.
And have fun.
Yeah, and I think maybe what it was she hadn't been partying Sunday, and that was what was left of Saturday.
Well, if you remember, Lynn and Alex are incredibly gay gossip reporters from LARagMag.com, I believe, reported that she was paid $250,000 and actually showed up, technically speaking, the next day. She was supposed to be there at 9. And for $250,000, showed up at 12:05. So technically speaking, she was a day late
to
$250,000.
Club in Vegas.
Mm. Just sit there.
Hey, Dee Dee.
Yeah.
How'd your picks go this weekend?
Not good. The Raiders did it to me again this already.
Yeah, I lost with the Raiders too. I normally don't bet on the Raiders, but they're playing Detroit. Detroit is like 3-25 on the road in the last 4 years or 5 years or something.
I had a nice 7-teamer going, and the Raiders messed it up.
Burned on a parlay. All right, Dee Dee. Thanks for the report, baby doll.
Hey, and I love you guys. You guys are great. I stay home from work just to listen to you guys.
I like that.
But then you can't buy the products that I hawk. I'm about to hawk Perfect Push-Up in a few minutes, and I want you to go out and buy some so you need a job.
Well, you use your gambling winnings to buy it. Great. Send a good message to your kids. Sorry, Tracy Metro. Continue, baby
That's
girl.
That's okay. You know, I want to tell you one thing about Kanye West. He got shut out from the VMAs last night.
No, he's upset.
Yeah, so upset. Oh, my gosh. Wait, I have quotes, things that he said that I cannot believe this came out of this guy's mouth. He said, I can't believe she would perform, talking about Britney. She hasn't had a hit record in years.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
And he said, maybe my money's not right. Maybe my skin's not right.
Acne.
Yeah.
Because MTV doesn't let black folks perform.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
Okay.
The most racist network.
It just sucks now.
MTV.
Since TNT.
MTV is now some kind of reality show and then black people either rapping and or singing.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, yeah. I honestly, for the few minutes, I had my kids this weekend for the first time, like both kids in my tiny little apartment, and there was a lot of MTV, and it was white guys hurting themselves, black guys singing or rapping,
right.
And then some kind of a reality show.
Yeah.
That's other, that's yeah. all there was on it. So.
Just don't like black men on, you know, on MTV.
Gunn Mahan should have shut up when he had the chance.
Seriously. Okay. And then the last thing I'll tell you about is Time Magazine published the 50 worst cars of all time.
You now have Adam Carolla.
Yes, I was going to say. Come on, give me a guess. Give me a guess.
He knows.
Well,
what he knows.
What do you think on there? All 50? Because I've seen, I have seen a lot of them. I know the Chevy Chevette was on there.
Give us five.
Chevette is on there. There's even a Ferrari Mondale on there.
I that car.
Think there is a, let's say, AMC Gremlin. I think the Gremlin is on there. It just keeps going and going. It's every American car your parents drove between 1974 and 1986.
Tracy, can
the Hummer H2.
Yes. Also, Cadillac, the Cimarron, the small Cadillac. Lots of crappy American
Trace,
stuff on there.
Can I give you an idea who you're working with just real quick?
Must
in the beginning of the $6 Million
Ask
Man,
his rodeo?
There's a plane crash of some kind that hurts the $6 million man. What was the guy's name? What kind of plane was it? What year did it happen, Adam?
Yeah, I just remember that kind of stuff. It's that's all.
Ooh, I almost said the F word. It's friggin' sickening. By the end of today, you're just going to go home and go, oh, I'm an idiot. I had no idea.
He knows everything.
I only know about building and cars.
Not true.
But cars, I mean, there was this thing. We're all in the right age to have been punished by this, which is, cars used to work in the 50s and 60s. They worked. They had 400 horsepower and big fire-breathing V8s and four-barrel carburetors and everything else. Then somebody came along and said, hey, man, this smog thing is ruining the planet. We're going to put a bunch of restrictions on your cars. And all of a sudden, the big block 427 V8 that formerly made 450 horsepower is now making 140 horsepower. There's nothing we could do about it. Technology is not caught up to the requirements. See, somebody said the air has to be clean, and we didn't know how to do it.
So, but you know what? Because I'm actually shopping for a car, and I drive a Prius right now, and I would love to drive an electric car, so I happen to be doing some research this weekend. Do you know that, I should check this before I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Thomas Edison had an electric car.
Oh.
His first car was an electric
car. I've been to Leno's warehouse and seen hybrid cars from the turn of the century, like 1910. The earliest cars were electric, obviously steam-powered. There were all kinds of, there were even hybrid cars. All these notions were out there many, many years ago. They just didn't have the battery technology to really make it viable.
What happened is all the really good ideas were topped by the best idea, and then they gave up on the ones that weren't as good, and now we've been stuck
with
them for the last
100
years.
Which happens to be the one that's the most pillaging
to,
you know.
And now it's coming
back. But there's a lot of stuff in our society that worked that way. It's like Leonardo da Vinci says, hey, there should be something called a helicopter where something spins and you can just lift straight up. And then 750 years later, Sikorsky figures it out. You know, certain ideas, like somebody said, hey, the air should be cleaner that's coming out of the back of these cars.
It took a while for
us to figure it out. The electric car, same thing. Battery technology. Cars sucked right in our sweet spot. When you go back and look at the Earth's calendar, you realize cars were great in the 50s and 60s, and then they sucked from about the mid-70s to about the early 90s, and now they're all good.
Unless
again.
They were Japanese.
Even the Japanese ones that people wax poetic about, they didn't have much power. There wasn't much going on. They were the best
we had
at the time.
Right.
And reliable.
Break.
That's right. You
but
have any other
I
cars?
I don't like bombing a country back into the Stone Age. And then within 20 years, them having built a better product
over
than me.
Superior product.
Well, I think this is interesting that the BMW 7 Series is written as one of the worst cars.
I think that was on there because of the design change, that the old 7 Series had a much nicer aesthetic design, and then they want this big bubble trunk.
And I agree with the Jaguar X-Type.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a little plastic car on the inside.
Yes, not reliable.
Yeah,
Fiat,
all,
though, was
British
kind of cute.
Break.
Fiats were crappy.
But they were kind
of
cute.
The X19 was cute, and so was the Spider.
Yes. Gutless.
Yeah, the Spider.
Gutless and broke down a lot.
Yep.
And their Ford Explorer, that one really shocks me, because there are like 9 trillion of them on the road.
Mm. Glorified truck, I think, is the problem with those. And not a great
fan
car,
of it.
But you wouldn't think it'd be on the list. Although,
exactly, because it's popular.
When you do these lists, you have to throw in the one that makes people talk every once in a while. It's like when they do the 50 hottest, you have to toss some chick on there that we don't think is hot so we can argue about it. I think they do that with these lists.
You got to put Kate Winslet on when she's about 30 pounds overweight.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So they show they're fair and interesting as a certain kind of beauty.
But the DeLorean, I thought that was such a cool car.
Pile of crap.
Crap? I know about aesthetic cars and how fast I can make them go and how difficult they are to crash while drunk. And everything about that one sucked.
Gutless
V8. Isn't that the one with the doors that came up?
Gullwing doors. Stainless steel body. Gutless, like literally 135 horsepower V8, which is just nothing. And of course, featured Back to the Future. Are you asking me?
I'm not.
He must have been the most popular guy in high school. I don't want to date you, baby doll, but what year? Is he talking about a new DeLorean?
I don't know.
They probably came out in 79 or 80, somewhere in there.
Well, the one that's on the list is 1981, mm-hmm. and I was not in high school in 1981.
Right.
So
he drove a used DeLorean.
You were in junior high school?
Still.
In
1981?
Something like that.
Imagine that transportation. Imagine that decision. Like, hey, my kid needs a car to get to high school and back. How about a gold-winged mid-engine V8
right.
experimental car from the early 80s? The one from Back to the Future.
Right.
All right, Professor, what else you got on there?
The AMC Pacer.
Yes.
I love that car.
Isn't that the one that was like 3 colors on the side?
Yeah. One of them was rust.
Yugo, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else is really all that where you go, wow. You know, the Pontiac Aztec.
You care about that car enough to go,
Well, the Pontiac, here's what I care about in life. I care about things making it to the stage where they come to my eyeballs or my ears. For instance... How dare you? For instance, you hear some slogan like, what can Brown do for you?
Right.
And you think,
EPS.
Wow, that's retarded. That sounds horrible.
Right.
How did that work? And then you think, well, somebody at an ad agency pitched it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
A junior guy pitched it to a more senior guy, and that more senior guy brought it into UPS, and then they had a long discussion about it, and at the end of the meeting, everyone gave it a big green light, and before you know it, it's all over the side of every van.
And you say it, and Tracy says, oh, UPS, so it works.
Yeah.
I guess it does, but how come at some point nobody raised their hand and went, huh?
Poop.
Huh?
Right?
That seems weird to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the Aztec...
It almost sounds invitational.
The Pontiac Aztec is one of the most, I will say, the most unattractive vehicles. It's a minivan that has been built in the last 20 years. Somebody, originally, it didn't just roll off the production lines in Dearborn, Michigan. Somebody brought in a clay model right. of the car, and somebody said, let's retool our entire plant in Dearborn and start manufacturing this car. There were a full 2 years of looking at models, looking at drawings and computer-generated renditions, and nobody raised their hand and went, hold on, everybody.
But they this do that in the movie business as well. They greenlight such a piece of crap film. And don't you say, there's so many hands that have been in this.
At some point, when somebody was reading this script, did they not want to address this or stop that?
Mr.
Yes.
Lucas,
absolutely.
Are you sure you want to make Howard the Duck? About the Duck from Space, Mr. Lucas. The worst, I think, adding I ever saw was UPS and the Aztec together when they combined that commercial. Jump inside the Aztec. What can Brown do for you? I thought it offended almost everyone.
All I'm saying is this is why, whether you're Britney Spears, UPS, or the good people over at Pontiac, you need an outside set of eyeballs on your ass every once in a while. You need to call
That's
me.
That's not payola.
You need to call me in and watch the rehearsal. I'm not part of the posse. I'm going to say, this is horrible. you need to call me in if you're Pontiac, instead of a bunch of yes men who are all trying to kiss ass and climb the corporate ladder, bring me in. I'll look at the clay model before you retool the factory. When it's still made of clay, I'll put a cigarette out on it and then take a kiki on the hood and say, are you guys high? This looks better now that I've done number two on it. Get rid of this. You're all make me sick, and then storm out instead of wasting billions of your shareholders' money. Ah, the DeLorean only came in a V6, somebody says. I'm not sure about that, Teddy. Is that callers calling in telling you that? That can't be you.
Yeah, that's callers calling in, and I looked it up on Wikipedia. It's came in only a V6.
Mm.
Who screens these calls?
What was the horsepower on it? I said 135.
I don't like this.
140?
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call screen.
This could be bad. See, this could be bad, dude.
Mm. I know it's gutless. Find out the horsepower on it. I thought it was a gutless V8. I guess it's a gutless V6. But we're still going to look.
And let me tell you, it's the DeLorean DMC-12.
Mm. Look that up, bitch.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. Okay.
No,
so
because I one time told Corolla the Earth was round.
And he
Googled it and convinced me I was wrong and then still threatened my job. Doesn't love the whole being.
I said octagonal, and everyone around me agreed.
Now, can I just ask this one question? Why? Because I thought this was a fancy schmancy car. The Lotus Elite, 1958 Lotus Elite, is on the list. Again, another car that I thought was like a fancy schmancy, apparently is a piece of ass.
Here is the thing, much like big families that have lots of celebrities. Like, I'm sure there's a Wayne's brother out there that makes $35K a year and beats the crap out of his old lady. There's the one you don't talk about. Lotus makes a ton of good cars, but they make a crapper every once in a while. Ferrari, believe it or not, makes a stinker every once in a while.
Recently.
Aston Martin makes a stinker every once in a while.
Lamborghini
makes a stinker every once in a while. Maserati, everybody comes out. Every once in a while, the Yankees have a bad season, and that's what happens.
You know what it is with the Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Maseratis? You know when they go really bad? Every time I've ever seen it, the four-door. When they decide they got to get into the four-door business,
quattroport.
They just suck.
All right. Well,
alrighty. Well, that is a look at Teresa's news.
Nice. Thank you, whoever you are. The news. You, Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser doing her TMZ television show. She will be out today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, I do believe. Tracy Metro doing a great job filling in. Now, speaking of Tracy Metro, she has herself a show.
Who?
Tracy has her show
called Green Gadgets.
Yeah, and we were just talking about the Prius and the environmental impact. And
and I want an electric car.
I'll tell you my story. I tried to save a few kilowatts over at Kimmel's house yesterday and got yelled at for my efforts. So we'll take a break. I'll tell you when we come back. But I want to talk about this. I want to know what you're doing. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I want to know what Tracy knows about some of these new. Look, there's the ones that sound cool but don't save anything. Yeah. Like, this one's a solar-powered barbecue. And it's like, all right, but really, is that going to save the world? And then there are the compact fluorescent light bulbs that might save the world. I want to know good versus novel. 866-901-ADAM. And I'll tell you the story about getting yelled at Kimmel's for saving some kilowatts next.
Oh, Dateline, Tucson, Arizona. A man and a woman were arrested after robbing a roadside fruit stand at gunpoint. The couple made off with $40, a mango, and an ear of corn. Definitely not a Jew.
Tracy Metro in studio is a Jew, filling in for our favorite Jew, Teresa Strasser, who's working on launching the TMZ show.
What is with the Jew?
We're talking about saving some kilowatts. I was going to tell you about a story yesterday about noon. I was over at Kimmel's house. I walked in the front door, noticed that the porch light was on, so I shut that. And then I walked out to the back. and there's Jimmy's barbecue oven. He's got a big old brick pizza oven. Now, I'm not about something with wheels or something that you assemble with wing nuts. I'm talking about brick and mortar. I'm talking about a bomb shelter for pizzas. As a matter of fact, if the Ruskies attack or Benny Laden and company ever decide to let something off, you will find just my ass hanging out of Kimmel's pizza oven. Where's Carolla? That's his ass.
What am I doing for you?
It's not a pizzone. Nope. That's Carolla's ass. He stuffed himself into Kimmel's pizza. It's the safest structure within a 5-mile radius of my house.
Teresa will die because she just won't throw herself in one.
She will not. She has a long history. Please, Danny.
Oh, Carolla.
You're offended, Tracy.
Carolla, eat me and eat me now.
I'm an official Jew. You know that.
Because maybe I grabbed the words out of your mouth.
I will tell you guys, I have a cement shower. As a Jew, I have a cement shower. I know. How wrong is that?
Oh, really?
I don't even know what it means.
Instead of most people have tiles or slate, I have cement.
Yeah, finished cement.
Yes, I floated cement.
I floated out to Kimmel's backyard, saw his pizza oven, saw a big light. He has a big light that hangs right over it for nighttime use. Of course, that was on, and the sun was shining, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. So I walked over, stared at it, looked around, found the closest switch I could find, and flipped the switch down and walked away. Then 5 minutes later, Jimmy said, "Who shut the gas off the oven?" And I got into one of those things where I didn't have time to explain myself and my great deed that I was trying to save him kilowatts. I said, "Well, I shut the switch, but I thought I was shutting it for the light." "No, you shut the gas off the oven." "Oh, well, I flicked it off, and when I found out it didn't shut the light, I flicked it back on." "Yeah, but you shut the gas. Now I have to restart it." "Oh, and then there was a couple of people around that was like, "I understand why you're screwing with the oven." And I was like, "No, I was trying trying to shut the light. Hey, man, we want to eat. I don't know about you." And I had the angry natives now who had the kittens in their stomach, and they want to eat. And they were like, "Hey, Carolla, what's the deal?" And Kibble's like, "Yeah, what the?" And then I did that. I was trying to, and he gave me one of those things where, this happens to everyone in life, and there's a part of you that wants to rectify it. Like they go, the person doesn't have time. They go, "Look, I just got to go get that. I got to go get that extendo lighter. I got to go get," and they start walking away, and you take one step behind them like, "Hey, and then you go, "Nah, F it. I'm going to have another beer."
I was having a business lunch not long ago with and part of it was somebody's birthday. So there's a bunch of fairly important people in a restaurant I didn't fit in the first place, having a conversation about business things I don't understand. So I was very unhappy. And all of a sudden, saving the world and ecology and recycling came up. And I said, to be me, because these guys can hire me and I only do one act and you're looking
you're
at
you.
It. So I said, I don't recycle.
What?
And they looked at me really mad, and I decided, F these guys. I didn't like them anyway. I'm taking this further. I said, I don't recycle, and I do it for my children. And they said, what? And I said, what is the mother of invention? And one of the brighter ones said, necessity. And I said, right. So if I clean up this planet right now, and there is no necessity for my children to do anything, what have I done but helped make a lethargic generation? So I will not be cleaning up this environment. Well, I thought it was kind of witty.
Clever.
Dude, I don't think I'm ever going to work again. I think I did
in
that last
town?
Show and I'm done.
Yeah,
seriously,
probably. Yeah, if you were right-wing Republican, that would be strike number one. But if you don't recycle, they can't. You know, you can still work and have, Tom Selleck's politics. But if you don't recycle... I did use the recycler roller, which I installed over Kimmel's to fire my 13 Miller light bottles through.
We'll even let you drive up in a Hummer as long as you recycle.
Jack has, speaking of driving up, something that I've spoken about before, which I think is really cool, Jack.
Yeah, Adam.
What's happening, Mr. Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Only good things. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're good, man.
Tell us what you got going.
Holy.
I actually work for a Honda dealership in Clovis, California, and we offer, one of the few dealerships in California, we offer the natural gas Civic, which is just your normal Civic, just like you'd see anything else, but the car runs on natural gas, so instead of having a hybrid or having to go to a regular pump, you can actually have a fill station at your house.
This is what I'm talking about.
How dangerous is it, though, to have your natural
gas?
Not
dangerous.
It's really not? You don't?
No.
It's not dangerous at all. In fact, the tank is in the back of the trunk, so it takes about half the size of the trunk. It's only about an 8-gallon.
It's not the Pinto.
It's not a Pinto, baby. No, don't bag into it.
No, and it's not dangerous to have the thing at your house either. Well, here's the thing. They have the insurance underwriters labs who do all the testing on, like, space heaters and blenders and all that kind of stuff. They tested the home filling station. And the
fill station, yep.
The fill station, like, as I said, you know, blenders came out to be more dangerous. Toasters came out to be more dangerous. A lot of things in your kitchen, as it turns out, were more dangerous than this thing.
The bathroom is the most dangerous place in your house by leaps and bounds. Now, about
this
particular Honda, what's the model again?
The model is called the GX Civic.
And did you say you're the only dealers that have it? Because we just picked up a new sponsor, Power Honda of Valencia, and they said I could pick any Honda I wanted. And if can I get it there?
There's very few dealerships that can actually sell the vehicle. Honda has just very few dealerships in the United States.
Yeah, why is it?
It used to be a Ferrari that gets chicks. Now you want to pull up in a Prius. And the hot chick's gonna get in your Prius.
I saw a spot on this.
I was watching one of my
car shows over a year and a half ago. They were talking about this natural gas Honda. Imagine you pull into your garage, you plug the hose in, you go into the house, and you never go to another gas station as long as you live. And
amazing.
And right, it shows up on your gas bill, and it's separated from the rest of the house.
So you can see what
gas.
It's costing
you. So you can see what it's costing you. But what does it cost you, Jack?
It's running currently somewhere about the $1.30 range. I just sold one
a tank?
Last week. About $1.30 something per gallon.
Okay.
And I just sold one to a gentleman out of state. I believe he lives in Utah. He took possession of his last week. He claims he is under 80 cents per gallon. Because remember, there's different taxes per state.
Right. 80, he's in Utah.
80 cents per gallon is what he pays. And he does have a fill station at his house. You can also go to PG&E stations. Like in the Fresno area, we have about 4 or 5 different stations.
Right. Now, look, let's be honest. For most of us who are paying $3.10 a gallon or $3 a gallon or whatever it is, I would pay $4 a gallon or $5 a gallon not to have to deal with the horrible foreigner who's giving me the stink eye through the Lexan glass while I'm filling up my car, and then the homeless guy who wants to know if he can take the sports page to my Audi and clean the windshield. As a matter of fact, he does it first and then puts his hand out later. Just to be able to fill up, to leave your house with a full tank every single day and never have to deal with the pump and the credit cards and the weirdos.
Right.
I can't believe
this. And you just feel better about yourself, right?
Well, there's, I don't know
That's
if it's,
the bonus
I don't
part.
Know if the natural gas is zero emissions, but it's close to it. Is it not?
It is a zero emissions vehicle, and it's got a monstrous federal credit to it.
So well, yeah, here's
you may get credit. State and federal with that.
Here's
actually.
How you know it's zero emissions.
I didn't know that was even possible.
Well, you take a pot and you boil it because you're going to make pasta for your family.
Right.
The flame that's underneath it in your kitchen with the doors and windows closed is what is burning inside the cylinder of this Honda. So obviously, if you can have a couple of burners going, natural gas, inside your house for 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
How bad could it be?
I didn't think there was anything that did zero emissions. That's news to me.
Well,
and pretty amazing.
I mean, there's always a reaction for one chemical reaction. There's another, whatever it is. But this is, for all intents and purposes, zero emissions. So zero emissions, great mileage, $1.25 or so a gallon.
How
and
much
most
for the
importantly,
car?
You do it from your house. And as far as retrofitting the cars, they're not that much more, right, Jack?
The car, they're a few thousand dollars more, but you're going to get it all back in credits. Better yet, the gas savings is just crazy. Now, keep in mind, the only way if you're going to have one of these fill stations at your house, you do have to be a homeowner, and you do have to have natural gas. I actually live in the country, which my house is 100% electric, so I can't actually have this in my house. So there's a few little stipulations.
That
you
blows.
Got to be a homeowner to have it, but still. Most of the people that own these things do work for the government. They can actually go to their own little government stations and fill them up right there.
And let me ask you one more question, Jack, if you know this. Natural gas is something that we get from the ground, I do believe. How plentiful is it? Do we ship it from anywhere? Do we pipe it from anywhere? Where does it come from? I don't think we're making the Shaw of fill in the blank rich from natural gas. No. I think there's more of that from here in Canada, the United States and Canada, but I'm not sure. If I'm making an argument against it, what would it be? Is there a downside here?
Yeah, the only downside, you're not going to find a downside to the actual gas itself. There's plenty of gas available. That's what we all run our house on, dryers and all that stuff. The only downfall to this vehicle is it's not a long-distance vehicle. Keep in mind, it's only an 8-gallon tank that's in the trunk, 100% bulletproof tank. You can blow up the car, everything. It's not going to blow the tank. The only downside,
take your word for it,
it's only 8 gallons. That, therefore, at 40 miles a gallon, you only have a 200-mile radius. You're not going to take this car, you know, across
right.
the country.
Right.
So where do you fill up?
You don't need to go to Oregon in your Honda Civic anyway. Take the Lexus.
This car is for someone who is a city driver who stays within their main city, main county. At that point, they probably drive back and forth maybe 40, 50 miles, maybe as much as 100 miles a day. At that point, you're right. They bring it back home, plug it in, and overnight 100% fills up the car. You get back in, and you're done.
Hey, Jack, you working for the Honda dealer, and yep. Again, here's the part that sort of I don't like about our society. I see this natural gas car and the home filling station, all the savings and zero emissions and all this stuff a year and a half ago. And I think it's been a year and a half. Well, Al Gore's movie is come and gone. How come no one in this room has heard of it but me? And how come it's not available where I am? And how come we can't get these units? And you have guys coming from out of state to buy your car and then ship it back. Why isn't Honda making more of these? Why aren't we getting on this?
Isn't that more of the politics?
Yes, I agree.
Yes.
So it's just
that's why we're talking. That's why I'm talking to you. And now people will call me and they'll start ordering more of them. And I can call Honda and say I need more than what you guys normally.
Well,
need.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. Big Oil has the word "big" right in front of it, and if they spent. Imagine how much money you have to spend to get one of those oil derrick, one of those drilling platforms out in the North Atlantic. I mean, imagine the billions of dollars it takes to do that. And now you got some guy saying, oh, we want to go with ethanol, or we want to go with solar powered, whatever, or we want to go with something
electric,
other than this thing that's going to take 30 years to pay off.
Yeah.
So what do? You go, well, this will be the end of us.
Yeah.
Ah, here's the good news. We got a bunch of money. We want to buy ourselves a little time. We'll go ahead and give it to a politician. They'll go ahead and get elected. And then when they get in, there's going to be all kinds of policies about Honda and natural gas. And we'll put up a bunch of roadblocks and hurdles. And they'll get tangled up in that minutia. And we'll get ourselves another 20 years of status quo.
And the good news is nowadays there are so many kits that people can buy online or make themselves to change their cars, to convert their cars. If you have a diesel car, you can obviously now. Do biodiesel, you can switch, you know.
Yeah, but you
floated
concrete, dude. As far as I'm concerned, your house beautiful.
Well, I can't do anything to the car.
Tracy Metro is in filling in for Teresa Strasser, by the way. We're just talking about green economics. Tracy is hosting Green Gadgets. Give us, again, I don't want to hear about the solar barbecued.
Yeah, you know what?
So beanie, but I want something good.
You know, Blackle, Google came out with Blackle. It's Google. It's just it doesn't have a white page. It has a black page.
That was my porn name, Blackle.
Blackle. Mm-hmm. And it has saved over 193,000 watt hours. I don't quite know what that converts to, and I was trying to do the conversion during the break.
You mean so because the power to illuminate
yes.
is not necessary? All right, that's a cool idea.
There are so many great things out there, just little things everybody can do instead of... Well, first of all, so you were mentioning Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth. Well, there's a film out that's right now that's out, not playing in that many theaters. But if you can see it, go and see it. It's called The 11th Hour. It's the one that Leonardo DiCaprio
mm-hmm.
kind of hosts, if you mm-hmm. can host a film. It's really alarming what's going on with the environment. Gosh, water bottles are horrendous. Why not use a corn-based bottle? Or even better yet, why not have the steel bottles and have your filtered water?
Them?
Yeah, just it's you all.
Mean,
I'm so much
corn,
about reuse.
You say
Adam.
corn-based
derivative.
Really?
So the bottle actually breaks down in water in about 90
nobody
days.
Nobody wants to suck off the cornhole, though. I gotta tell you right now.
What can Brown do for
so
you?
Much, yes. Well, I'm so much about the reuse. There's no reason not.
Well,
to.
Well, here's the thing that's crazy about this particular topic. Most topics that have to do with good for humanity or the greater good of society or the world at large means sacrifice. Somebody says, yeah. Hey, I got a real worthy cause. What's going on? Breast cancer 10K walk and ride. And by the way, that's a cop-out. Look, if you can't jog 10K, right. Don't ask me to sponsor you. I don't need to see you walking.
Right.
Point is this. And then they go, hey, can you sponsor me? And you go, all right, it's a good cause, but right. There's nothing in it for me. I'm right. Going to give you $100 a kilometer. You're going to go walk this thing. It's going to cost me $1,000, and that'll be the end of that. This is a thing where somebody is saying, and when I'm talking about saving kilowatts, this is something where somebody says, hey, man, this is a real worthy cause. It's the 10K for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk this 10K and then I'm going to give you back the money.
And you know,
that's what this is.
And, yeah.
And
green.
We still can't get people on board with it, which is weird because you get yourself this Honda. That's the 10K that's going to make your gallon of gas 125 cents, $1.25 rather than $3 a gallon. You doing the compact fluorescent bulb, that's the 10K for you. It's going to save you the kilowatts.
Going green actually saves you some green. So not only does it save the environment, but it also saves you.
But
it's a win-win.
The idea that we still can't really get people on top of that win-win thing suggests that we are not being educated.
Well, you're right. We're not educating people well enough.
It's not a win-win. Mm. It's a win-win-lose.
Where's the lose, Danny?
Because you're forgetting that I have a God-given right to the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
I have a God-given right to the pursuit of 600 horsepower.
Yes.
Okay? And true. I want it. And I want it right now. I also want a blue sky. I also want my kids to grow up in a nice place. But I also want, my original Dodge Viper that I then had tricked out to give me almost 600 horsepower and get 4 miles a gallon. And God damn it, I want it. It's mine.
Why not make small changes, though? Why not use the other side of the piece of paper?
Mm-hmm.
You can make so many small changes.
That's a win-win.
That is. And not everybody has to be. I'm not perfect, for God's sake. Not at all. I mean, I beg to differ. I have a runny nose and I'm using tissues. Yes, I could be using a handkerchief.
You should be using your sleeve or cat.
Exactly.
On my arm.
Or Danny's arm.
Later, I'll be using Danny's arm. That's all right. In the 9 o'clock
By
hour.
The way, real quick, as long as we're talking about cars and things and emissions, you're right about Adam being right. John DeLorean originally envisioned the car would produce somewhere around 200 horsepower with a V8 engine in it, but eventually had to settle on 170 horsepower output for the engine. However, U.S. emission regulations require that parts such as a catalytic converter be added before the vehicle will be sold in this country, although the new parts qualified the vehicle for sale in the U.S., caused a serious reduction in engine power to 130 horsepower. So it was designed with a V8. You were correct.
Not correct, because it only had a V6. I thought it had a V8, but I was right about the horsepower, though. I said 135.
So I look at
130 horsepower. That's a sports car? Wow.
To run that on corn.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, Steven, you're building an all-electric vehicle?
Yeah.
Good times. It's powered by a sewing machine engine and works on a lawn chair with lawnmower wheels on it. Yes?
No, this is the great thing. It actually has 500 horsepower. So
and it's all electric.
Danny,
We need to take a break. I want to keep this going because we got a guy who works at a biodiesel plant I want to talk to. We got another guy who does use blackall.com instead of the google.com. Uh-oh, someone's saying natural gas isn't as safe as they thought it was.
I'm very interested in finding out about that.
All that when we continue the Green Hour next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, we're just talking green. We have Tracy Metro in studio filling in for Teresa Strasser doing her TMZ show tonight. She does a show called Green Gadgets, or at least it's a special called Green Gadgets. She's telling us ways to save. One on the screen, one that's near and dear to my heart, is put air in your car tire.
Yeah. See, so simple.
If anyone ever pedals a bicycle with no air pressure in the tires, you'll realize quickly how much
harder it is. More energy you expend,
your
legs more gas
energy.
You use in the car.
Now, here's what bumps me, and I'm going to try to sit down, and I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm not going to go nuts on this one, but as far as our government goes, many people live in apartments. Many people live in condos, or even the people living in houses don't have air compressors like I do. I have air compressors, and I fill up my own tires in my own garage, but most people don't. So you used to do it at the gas station, except for that's the gas station from the 50s that your dad used, where the guy with the bow tie came running out with a squeegee.
Right.
That world doesn't exist anymore. Right. There's a surly foreigner who doesn't want you anywhere near his hose. That's why they have the Lexan glass. The point is, you can feed $80 worth of quarters into that thing on the side and try to fill it up, but it's greasy and dirty and dark and weird. And most people, especially most women, especially with all the metrosexual dudes they're dating,
I wanna get dirty.
Don't put air in their car tires. Now, why? A, we don't make it easy. As a government, we do not make it easy at all. And B, there's no awareness of it. We're so consumed with secondhand smoke and click it or ticket and drive 55 and all the other effed out cliches we never get done talking about. We don't realize that the guy you're begging to put his seatbelt on with all your worthless PSAs, even though cars have buzzards and buzzers and placards and everything else. But that same guy you're begging to put your seatbelt on, that same guy you're begging to slow down and drive 55 is driving around with 13 pounds of pressure in his right front tire. He's getting horrible mileage. The tires are wearing out twice as fast, thus filling the landfills.
Yep.
And if he's driving a Ford Explorer, it could blow out and kill his family. Even if they're wearing the seatbelt that you beg them to wear. No discussion of it. Not
crazy.
Interested.
Now, with your passion on this subject,
yes.
If a family of four who drives around on very low air pressure, not wearing their seatbelts and sucking up gasoline because they're not bright enough to fill their tires with air, doesn't it actually do the environment good if we kill that family in that car accident?
Well, the problem is they are.
It won't breed.
The problem is they are wearing the seatbelts because the car has a audible tone that's going off when they don't click it, and they've seen the 1300 click it or ticket signs.
Okay.
So they're only turned into vegetables, in which case they're on life support, which is costing us more.
But can I say, so the paradigm is reduce, reuse, recycle. We don't talk about reduction, for number one. For number two, reuse is almost like, what? Are you kidding me? Buy something used? Not me. So we automatically go to recycling.
Let me introduce you to my mom, by the way.
But can I just tell you, there are amazing companies out there. There's a company called usedcardboardboxes.com. What do? They sell used boxes. You use a box one time to move in, or you put your stuff in and move.
You break it down and throw it away.
But why, when it can be reused, used cardboard boxes?
Look, I moved in a different box every couple of months for a while.
See,
so
there you go.
I was living in them. But
I was.
What about
packaging? You know, why do you need a blowtorch to get a pair of scissors out of the box and then out of the peanut packing and then out of the styrofoam and then the injected mold polystyrene plastic, whatever? Of course, we're just filling landfills with this. I agree, and I'm just as outraged as the next guy. I'm just mad at the government. I would like them to make it some sort of priority. Again, just something like millions of cars driving around the United States. More than half of them don't have the correct tire pressure in them. Using 20% more gas, making it dangerous, filling the landfill, so on and so on and so forth. Not a peep. Secondhand smoke? Obsessed.
Yes.
Click it or ticket, put your seatbelt on, obsessed. We're obsessed with certain things. Most people I know wouldn't know where to fill up their car tires, even if they were aware they should.
Or how much they took. I'm not nearly as passionate about this as you are, and nor as knowledgeable, but because this affects my everyday life, I do have an idea that I think would be brief. You know how the Diamond Lane doesn't work? It goes just as slow in most places as every other thing.
So annoying, right?
How about this, though? At least California, Arizona, and any other state, it would work. A motorcycle lane.
Oh.
My motorcycle and most motorcycles, especially like the Japanese motorcycles, can get 80 and 90 miles to the gallon.
In one
parking space.
You have a lane. It's between our lanes.
Right. That's what I do. But it's unsafe. And if you're doing 20... I'm only doing 35. It's not as easy
right.
as it looks.
Right.
But a motorcycle lane would have to be no more than 3 feet wide. It's just another stripe near the shoulder.
Right.
And in California, you could ride it 300 days a year easily.
Look.
And you could park. There's also one more bonus. I really didn't think this out. One parking space, at least six motorcycles.
You're too smart. That's why they won't. I've been trying to get the folks that deal with traffic in this city to come on this show since I started this show. We can't find anyone who'll come on with us.
My last name's Metro. I'll see what I can do for you.
Please talk to your dad. I want to talk to Stephen in Seattle. Stephen?
Yeah.
You're building an electric vehicle with 500 horsepower.
That's correct.
Now, how does that, and how much torque, by the way?
Oh, the torque is even more. It's 800 foot-pounds of torque.
Yes, people don't realize how much torque electric motors have. And the
I wouldn't guess that.
And the capacity, electric motors, rather than conventional motors, have an advantage in the 0 to 60 department. Wouldn't you say, Stephen?
Undoubtedly, because the torque begins, you know, at 0 RPM, you've got maximum torque. So you can see the Dodge Viper in the quarter mile.
Right. That is why diesel locomotives are really electric locomotives. The diesel just powers the generator.
And the
I didn't know that.
The electric. Think about what would need more torque than a locomotive. You're sitting still. You have 30 cars filled with ore behind you, and you have to get it going.
And aren't there bullet trains that do 170 miles an hour doing nothing on magnets, repelling themselves, repelling each other?
More electricity. Hey, Stephen?
Oh, is that more electricity to use?
Well, it's a field. Yeah. Hey, Stephen?
Yeah.
Oh, now, how are you going to make a 500-horsepower electric car?
Well, the components are all available from companies for doing it yourself.
Yeah, did you buy one of those kits online?
I bought the pieces from various places. Cafe Electric out of Oregon makes a 2,000-amp controller called the Godzilla controller.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the key. There's other cars out there. There's a guy in Oregon with a 72 Datsun, and he can run the quarter mile in 11.4.
He should do Pikes Peak.
I think they got rid of Pikes Peak, by the way.
Did they?
I
just watched a documentary on it like 2 days ago.
I think they stopped it this year. I'm not sure.
It's so unbelievably dangerous.
I think it's an environmental thing. I'm not sure. Hey, ironic that you would, before Pikes Peak, it's a race up the side of a mountain.
12 miles up.
Hey, Stephen?
Yeah.
And by the way, 11.2 in the quarter mile is a Ferrari fast. Maybe a little bit faster, right, Stephen?
That's very fast.
Yeah, but his eighth-mile time is incredible, and you keep in mind that that is a 72 Datsun that he's using.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't exactly a high-performance
car. All right, so you're building. Thank you, Stephen. I like this part where people are taking technology into their own hands. It's one of those things they always spoke about in these movies from the 70s and 80s. In the future, we'll have the information. We'll have the internet.
Yeah.
The man can't stop us. Oh, sure, big oil can try to line the pockets of the politicians, but we will go around them. We're subversive. We'll go on the internet. We'll talk to Steve smoking weed in Seattle, and we'll build our own vehicles.
Yeah, right.
That's my favorite thing. I even told my wife, who she said, you always, you know, you try and get around everything. And I said, that's the point. Even if going around it is harder than actually doing it straight, it's being clever enough to figure out your way around.
Yes. And
that's why I love that stuff.
And that's why if we can't get that Civic, at least you can do your own thing, you know,
right,
and say, I'm sticking it to the man.
Hey, Wes.
Man, you add sports to this conversation, and I'm in heaven.
By the way, I would love to stick it to the man, but it sounds gay. Isn't there a chick we can stick it to? It'd be nice if it was a hot chick. I think more of us would be
so
more.
Better.
I think a lot of guys would get on board with sticking it to the hot chick. Like, hey, buddy, I'm sticking it to the hottie versus the man. I'm tired of sticking
I've
it to the man.
I've had one too many parking tickets for not having my wheels turned into the curb.
I hate that.
I'm going to go stick it to the hot chick. You're absolutely, it sounds like
Bonaducci. Hey, that's a plan.
Yeah.
I rarely agree with Bonaducci, but on this one,
we're
eye to eye. Wes?
Yeah,
we're never eye to eye of the standing. One of the things I hate about you.
You work in a biodiesel plant?
Yeah, that's right.
What do you got?
We make biodiesel fuel from like used cooking oil and soy and stuff like that.
So you smell, when you're driving down the road, you smell french fries, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. And are you selling a lot of it? Is it going well? How much can you produce?
Our plant is rated at 5 million gallons a year, but with
like technical problems and stuff like that. We make about 3.5 million gallons a year.
And it's one of these things where we never get anything done. Thank you, Wes. I'm going to make one last impassioned speech, and then we'll go to break. We'll start Music Monday. But, you know, there's this thing where everyone goes, oh, biodiesel's not the answer because only less than 4% of cars. Oh, electric car's not the answer. Everyone's always telling you what the answer isn't. It's like traffic in Los Angeles. You know, 20 years ago, somebody says, hey, maybe we ought to build a light rail system. And someone goes, well, that's not the answer. That's not going to work. That's going to be expensive. Then someone goes, oh, maybe we should add a second deck to the 130. Oh, that's not the answer. That's not going to work. And then somebody says, well, maybe we ought to start commuter vans, but well, that's not going to work. Well, something that's has why, to be done.
That's what why do you, doing those little things, using Blacko, using,
right.
You know.
Everyone just sits around. You can't just sit please. Around and go, well, that's not going to work. That's only going to take care of 2% or 3%. Well, eventually it starts to add up.
I agree wholeheartedly. There's so many great companies
Strasser,
out there.
If you're listening, you're out. Because you haven't said that to me in over a year.
What is with the Jew?
Once in a while, you give me a nod. But listen to Metro over there. I agree wholeheartedly.
I got so many companies to tell you about, Adam. I'll
tell you what. Then, if in fact you're back here in the coming days, and I assume you will be, we can set aside a little time as even a bit of a public service to enlighten people to this.
I will be your green-eyed shopper.
Thank you.
I'll be your brown-eyed girl.
And my green-eyed ocean lady. Speaking of that, Music Monday, yes.
No, I was just going to say that's the best way. When he said, when you come back and we do that, that is great because I had to give him... You know, you said the Hummer is not one of the great cars.
But a Hummer in general is a bad thing.
That's how I stay. I give him a Hummer. You know, it's a bad car, but it keeps my job.
We need to take a break. Music Monday next. Now, I'll try to say this in 20 words or less. It is your first day at a new junior high. I picked junior high because those years are more formative somehow. They're more impactful than high school. It's your first day at a new junior high. Your pops is picking you up. He's pulling up in his biodiesel Chevette. And there's a song. He's got that stereo cranked up. When that bell rings and you walk out those front doors with all your new friends, not friends yet, hopefully you'll make friends out of them. There's a little trial period going on, and Pops is out there. He's come around the corner in the biofuel Chevette. What song don't you want him playing from that stereo, and what songs do you? So, embarrassing versus cool. We have ours. Tracy has hers as well. Danny and mine. All that on a Music Monday next.
Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
This could be one of them. All right, again, the stage, new junior high, 8th grade, dad's picking you up in the biodiesel Chevette. What do you want to be hearing from the stereo when he comes around the corner? What don't you want to be hearing from the stereo? First, I'll give you an example of good. This could probably get you a little street cred with Pop as he comes down the street. He's turned the corner. You see him coming around. He just opened the car door.
Oh, dude.
Dad's playing a little Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Other kids are looking at you like, wow, this kid's probably he's an ass kicker. He's got a dad who's cool.
Yeah, but is dad trying too hard, I say.
Could be overcompensation, but you know what? Yeah. 8th graders don't pick up on that.
Oh, nice.
You know, you're just cool. Like, okay, when you're in 8th grade and there's the dude who pulls up in the primer at El Camino and he buys you a six-pack at the liquor store, he's the cool guy.
Yes,
when you get older, he's the burnt-out doofus dude.
Right.
He's the criminal. He's just the cool guy. He's the cool dad pulling up with this.
Especially if you know all the words. Like, I know every word 50 Cent ever said.
Yes.
So that still makes it cool. If you're just kind of tapping your foot, you're the stupid white guy.
Right.
And dad has all the windows rolled down.
That's right.
I mean?
That's right. Sunroof? No. Moonroof. Open. With that little weird hatch thing. It's not like it's going to do anything for you. Moonroof. All right. Now one that might be a little embarrassing. Here he comes, turn the corner. He's pulled up in front of the school. He's just opened the door. multicultural school. Dad's coming across like some kind of a redneck. Maybe. I love this country as much as the next guy, but this isn't scoring any points. You're not getting any kind of street cred with this.
None.
And your dad's singing. There's a tear, single tear, rolling down his right eye so it can be seen from the driver's seat.
And he also, the antenna has a little flag.
Ah, yes.
You know, he's done like the whole thing.
And he has a bumper sticker that says, Sierra Club, take a hike to hell.
Right. United we stand.
Yeah.
You got the wrong guy. I'd be cranking proud to be an American because I suck at everything else, but I'm a pretty good American.
I've said that many times. All right.
But you can be a proud American without, blasting it out of your car.
That's the whole thing. I like this. I love this country and all that good stuff. But still, I would be embarrassed if Dad was cranking that when he pulled up in the diesel-powered Chevette. Here's my next offering.
Dad just cranked near school.
Turn the corner. It's coming up the street. Stopped it. Popped the door open. Son, I'm a family man. Hey, Pierce. Hey, 13-year-old Adam Beers. Love that Hall Notes. He's working the honk into the syntho jag.
Come on, son, let's go. It's time for us to take you to your karate lessons.
No, I'm looking at the guys next to me. Do you know who that is? I don't know who that is.
I'm waiting on that one.
We're wearing matching sweaters. That's what you call coincidence. I'm going to grab a bus. I'm going to call a cab. So I'm going back in and calling a cab. Anyone need a cab? We're calling a cab. There's a madman out there in a bio Chevette. Cranking a family man.
Some lunatic.
My 12-year-old, whose moods change only a little less frequently than her hair color.
Right.
I expect her to be embarrassed by me every day because of the way I dress and behave. And so far, not yet. It's like, that's my dad, and he doesn't give a rat's ass what you think. Okay, so he's almost 50, and he's wearing a bright red studded belt and skulls. Mm-hmm. He just likes it that way. I'm very happy my preteen doesn't hate me yet.
But yet. Tomorrow morning, yet. Yeah. Exactly.
Be prepared to bedazzled by the douche man. All right, I'll give you my last one before we go to break. Again, eighth grade. You got your peachy folder. You're standing there with your new friends. Let's turn the corner. I just pulled up in front of the school in the bio diesel powered Chevette.
Oh, yeah.
Now your dad's not just a single tear coming down the right cheek. He is a mess.
Right, because your mom and your dad are divorced.
They're divorced. That's why he's picking you up. He picks you up on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He is reduced to a heap.
It's every other Friday and Saturday.
Oh,
and every other
Danny,
Wednesday.
No, buddy. Oh, Danny. Pure coincidence. He opens a passenger door and an avalanche of spent tissues roll out.
And then he gets out of the car, he walks over to you, and he gives you one of those just like hugs.
He collapses in a heap in your arms.
And you're
yes.
Like, Dad, listen, you're ruining my mojo.
Right.
With my little posse.
He never lets you go. He puts you up on his shoulders, even though you're 13, and carries you out to the car.
Or it's the slow-mo, in the love song.
Right.
And
you spin around in the quad looking at each other. And then he yells, son, I'm going to get you a gallon of Froyo because I know you're addicted to that stuff. He loves Froyo with Jimmy's. He screams to the crowd. Yes.
That's my boy.
Yep. That's,
my son.
That's,
Blue, you're my boy.
That's not what you want in front of your new school on such an important day. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Eighth grade. Dad picks you up. What do you want playing? What don't you want playing? First day at a new school. Quick break. We have your suggestions and some good ones. I have my number one waiting. We have Tracy Metros filling in for Teresa Strasser. Quite nicely. Bonaducci filling in for no one. No one can fill in for Bonaducci. Bonaducci can't even fill in for Bonaducci.
But I can be filled in if there's any problem.
He can be filled, and the deaf rat guy waiting in the wings. All that coming up next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ride, Captain, ride upon your mystery.
Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show, brought to you by Sounds of Hornitos Tequila. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. So your folks are picking you up after the first day of school. They drive around the corner. You open the door. And which song would embarrass the hell out of you if it was playing on their stereo at that moment? Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Ride, Captain, ride. That's Blues Image. And that is the band that played Dr. Drew's prom. 1949 in Pasadena. Blues Image, along with Scotty Snotty and the Hankies. I don't remember much, but I do remember that conversation.
Mine was Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, and another big name.
We played those records as well at my prom.
No, I went to school with those people and their kids.
Oh, my God. Tracy Metro is here. Sorry for sounding like Jim Backus for a second there. Oh, God, lovey.
Thurston Howell just went nuts.
Tracy Metro here filling in for our beautiful Teresa Strasser, who's launching TMZ-TV. Tonight, by the way, check your local listings at TMZ.com. All right, Music Monday. First, I want to punch up somebody who caught my eye. Sean?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
Nothing much, Sean. What do you have for us?
I got Stroke by Billy Squire as a cool song.
Oh, you're going cool.
Yeah.
The dad picks up and he's blaring this.
Not cool, ironic, just cool.
Not cool, you're surrounded by eighth grade chicks and your dad's going, stroke me, stroke me.
Not- I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if this is cool. I gotta be honest.
There's a scene in Billy Madison where they made fun of him for showing up in this car to school.
Playing this song. Sean, did you see that?
Yeah.
He's so embarrassed. He's like,
Even though I happen to think this is the worst choice you could have ever made, stroke me around eighth graders, don't take anything that ever happened in Happy Gilmore or anything like that as a personal insult. You'll survive it.
Choo-choo.
Every once in a while, I think we have smart, funny listeners. And then I realized that Sean was serious when he had stroke. You see, on the screen, it just says Sean Fresno, and then it says Billy Squire, stroke me, and I think that is funny and interesting and to the point, and then I realize he's serious.
Oh, sweet irony!
And it's like somebody showing up in a retarded leather vest and cowboy boots that are ridiculous. Not you, Danny.
I swear to God, girl, it's coming.
And you laughing.
But he wears them for height.
You're laughing your ass off thinking, that is the funniest thing I've seen this guy ever do, until you realize he's serious. And now it has changed your view of him.
Can I add something, though?
Yes.
Delete him off the screen.
Everyone I know now is much younger than I. My girlfriend's really young. And all her guy friends, she has a lot of guy friends, their favorite thing about this show, so you don't feel bad about that, is that moment. When somebody calls up and is a dick and we bury them. That's their favorite part.
He wasn't an intentional dick.
That's the point. They call up, they go bad, and we tell them why they're tarred.
He was an accidental dick. A movie Bill rented last weekend, by the way, The Accidental Dick.
I went for Accidental Tourist, but...
No. Hey, Steven?
Yeah?
Please tell me that the song you're going to suggest is in the bad department.
Oh, it is bad, my friend. Standing there, hanging with the boys, maybe talking about chicks, blowing yourself up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Dad comes up, flings open the door, maybe wearing some short shorts, a little backpack, and he's blasting... It's Raining Men.
Mm. He's got a feather boa on. And he says, okay, girl, let's go, okay.
Yeah, he's screaming, I'm right in the middle of my me day, so let's make it quick.
He says, let's hurry up, my nail appointment's in 10 minutes.
Those cuticles ain't going to push themselves, child.
No, they're not, let's go, okay.
I love this song.
And Adam and I both love Hanson. Love Hanson.
Okay, this I'll leave you
Hanson.
There.
I know, but he was just saying, is it bad that I love this song? I said, no, and Adam and I also love Hanson. That's what people would condemn.
I think this is the Weather Girls.
It is.
Right.
It's Raining Men. It's amazingly written by the amazingly straight Paul Schaefer.
Really?
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Nice to know.
Thanks, Steven.
Sure.
Nice job.
You listeners are back now. You're officially smart again.
That's a good song.
All right.
What time it is.
Tracy, let me play good example. No, it's not as good as if your dad was cranking the Squire from 1979. But here comes Pops. He's got a little Radiohead on. No one argues with Radiohead.
Nope.
No.
Well, that's all you have to do. When somebody goes, who are you listening to? What are you into? What do you like? You go, Radiohead? And no one ever goes, oh, they suck. Yeah. Everyone just goes, oh, hey, cool. They don't know any Radiohead songs. They're never going to quiz you or question you on it. They'll never do it. You just go, I like Radiohead. I'm into Radiohead. And everyone go, me too. And then you go, oh, what albums do you have? And they go, you know what? I don't really. I listen a lot, like when I'm at a friend's house and stuff. I don't pay. You know, I don't get into the lyrics.
I don't stay around that long.
Right.
Yeah. But Radiohead is one of them. There's certain things that'll make you cool no matter what. I have the cheapest Harley Davidson they make, a Sportster. Well, the second one is a 1200 Sportster. But I pull up on a Harley and I'm as cool as the guy in the Lamborghini.
You're still on a hog.
Yeah.
You pull up on $1,400 worth of Harley and you're the coolest pop. Yeah. Yeah. In the universe.
Right.
So Radiohead can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
Tracy, what do you got?
I wear leather pants on my Harley when I pick up my kid.
Mm.
All right, so here's what I got.
Mm-hmm.
When Pops is pulling up.
Ah, the Who.
Yeah.
Little Bob O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know that Pop knows what you're going through.
I like that.
But he says, I can still rock out with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a teenager. I was there.
Papa O'Reilly pulls up, banging his head a little bit. He's cranking it up, sending a message to the faculty.
And he says, come on, get in. We're blown to the beach, babe.
Yeah.
I got your surfboard. Let's boogie.
Yeah, he hits you. Yeah, he hits you with the stick. No, the stick's on the racks.
Yeah, totally.
The biodiesel-powered Chevette head comes complete with some Yakima racks. He's got the long boards on there. You walk out, he hits you with some long trunks and says, come on, kid. Pop's going to teach you a lesson on hanging 10. Yeah, you're in. Okay, Danny?
Not bad. Okay, now this is, I think this automatically makes you cool. You're automatically doing well if this is happening.
Hot for teacher.
Because you can't tell if he's hot for your teacher, which is kind of cool in a way, or he's just letting your buddies know, my eighth grader, boning the math teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically cool points. Right
on the nose, but good.
I always do on the nose. I don't fool around with you guys. You dig too deep for me.
All right. I like that. We have all...
I would suggest that all my songs are going to have the word of the topic in the title.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
One of mine does kind of tip.
Well, don't give too many clues. All right. Now we go back to the bad.
Okay.
Always better. Pops pulls up. He's driving the Chevette.
Baby, let me show you how I lean like a cholo. Laid back, I see the girl. When we do a dance, we do it like cholo. Like a cholo. Cut to side, elbows up, cut to side, elbows up.
Now, I barely know this song, except for Jack Silver told me he liked it. And that immediately meant I didn't like it.
I was going to say, when did you ever do anything Silver told you?
Well, he can tell me he likes something, and I can announce I hate it. I like you,
but I really want her.
Now, this is Pops trying to fit in, but awkwardly with the young crew.
And that's it. You got to know your place as a parent.
Trying to lean like a cholo in front of the eighth graders is not going to work. Now, see, the Radiohead was cool. You weren't trying too hard.
You knew your place as a parent. You can still be a parent and be cool, but you're not trying to be one of them.
Yeah, and then Pops comes out of the car, and he's like, hey, my home's pride and butternut squashes down on the DL. And he tries to give you a high five, but it's the old guy high five where he goes real spastic and he moves too fast at the end.
Or worse, he tries to bump the knuckles, which, come on.
Tries to do the knuckle bump.
I hate that.
He's like, hey, what's happening, shorties?
Okay.
It's just not working.
Not at all.
For whiteys out, shorties are chicks.
Oh, shorties are chicks?
You didn't know that?
I thought they were kids.
No, shorties are girls.
No. All right.
Because they're supposed to be, except in my world, shorter than you.
No.
I'm shorter than you,
shorties
Danny.
Meant kids.
Wow,
what
when
I
say whitey, I am never talking to you, girl. That was weird. Yeah, shorties are women. So you pick up a shorty when I went out, and then I got me a 40. It's a girl.
Oh, I just assumed the guys were having sex with their own kids.
No. Shorties are girls.
Wow. All right. I owe the rap community an apology. What do you got for us, Tracy?
You know, talk about being on the nose. this is when Dad's coming up and he's just, you know.
Ah, Madonna, like a virgin.
Like a virgin. He's just broadcasting the fact that you're a virgin. Yes, come we on. All know you're a virgin, but oh my gosh, did you have to put it on a billboard?
Yeah.
Actually, yes, they did.
Hunt, buddy, I got your first pube in my wallet. Sorry that leaves you with none.
And it's also a little bit of, okay, Dad, Madonna? You know, were you scratching your head?
With the
mom,
with the
maybe
bullets.
Madonna, but you, Madonna, oh no.
You know what? The great bass beat in this song's going to cause your other testy to drop, son. Come on, get in the car. I'm going to crank up the treble. Yeah, no, nobody needs to hear this.
Like a virgin. Ouch.
Danny,
ouch.
What do you got?
Oh, I got, here we go for my bad one. I think, again, on the nose, you can't go wrong with this. If my dad's cranking this, picking me up from, say, the eighth grade or so.
Ah, little Nirvana. Yeah.
Smells like Teen Spirit. Great. Dad, I smell like bong loads, bitch. Don't ruin my reputation. With the school. I don't smell like any spirit at all.
Yeah.
Full sperm and gum.
I love the song.
Not for daddy. I don't want my daddy saying my boy smells like teen spirit. My dad's going to be the little homo guy that's the only male cheerleader because he smells like teen spirit instead of bong water.
Give me a break.
But I think it's a badass song. I think the kids are like, yeah, boy.
I got to tell you, I would take this over many other songs in the bad department, that's for sure.
You know what is
that? But if you break down the words, you may have a point.
Thanks,
although
sir.
I don't know what smelling like teen spirit.
Well, you had it, and I fought last night about this because my girlfriend said, why don't you do Britney Spears' Hit Me, Baby, One More Time? And I said, because it has nothing to do with school, and I'm on the nose. The video has to do with school, and you don't see a song, you hear a song.
Right.
So without seeing that song, you know nothing about a school.
Definitely.
So that's why I went with this. This is, you smell like a team player to me. Like, you're going to be that little scrawny guy with a lisp that does the top of the totem pole for the cheerleaders.
All right.
I ain't doing it with my
boy. Danny to move on.
Let's do my next
one. He was selling hard there, people. In the bad department. He was trying to make that one work.
Yeah.
I'm good with it. I always come back, darling.
All right, you're out front. Coming around the corner.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Dad's got a lighter out the sunroof.
I'd kill myself if my dad played this at home.
See, this one's tough because your dad thinks this is poignant rock that's just as relevant as it was in 1987. He's trying to tell you pops can still rock.
Yes.
He's got the bandana tied around his bald spot.
Right.
Got the male pattern baldness with the do-rag on there. Comes out.
And dad's got the arm hanging out of the window like, you know, doing the head bop, and he's trying really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, God, my dad.
Yeah, I have all sorts of problems with this song. First, I have a gift of rhyming for some reason, and not one of that hook rhymes.
No.
Not a word in that song that actually rhymes.
No, but I was watching Who Wants to Hump a Rock Star, whatever the show. Rock of Love yesterday, and it dawned on me I would be humiliated if my dad pulled up and this was coming from the biodiesel-powered Chevette.
Is it on VH1?
Yeah, it is.
Then it's genius. I'd like to say that right now.
Tracy, what do you got?
This one is a song that people, I think, in general should be embarrassed to even listen to, even at a bar mitzvah.
Macarena.
Okay. Excellent.
Dad is actually doing it with the hands.
Oh, my God.
That is so punishing. Macarena. This song has no place in the world in general, and Danny is doing the Macarena here.
Oh, he just did it, yes.
Look at him doing with the
hands. Come on, little buddy, you're going to be late for your French horn lesson. Come on.
At the end, you do double high fives with the kid.
And Dad says, come on, let's do it together. Okay. You know, he tries to get like a musical number going with all the kids.
Right. So you're going to learn to play this on that French horn. It's going to be awesome. You'll be the only guy in school. And then he makes the announcement out the sunroof. He's going to be the only eighth grader who can play the Macarena on the French horn if his inhaler holds out. Come on, son, get in the car. This will be awesome. He does that big plume of diesel smoke. Because the car's been idling too long. She got that big plume coming out of the back. All right, Danny, is this your, we up to number one?
We are up to number one, and I say this one needs no introduction and no explanation.
Okay.
It's a beauty school dropout.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Beauty school dropout.
Wow, I'm good.
No graduation day for you.
Just
any kind of musical number is just punishing to have your parent.
Well, we said in essence 8th grade, but we didn't specify. So now you're first day of beauty school, and you're a dropout, and your dad's still outside, and you're 30.
And he's...
But anything that's like a musical is just...
He's got to be singing to this, too.
He's wearing golf pants.
He's got this an 8-track cassette stuffed in with a spork so it doesn't skip, you know? All right, that is horrible. We need to take a break. I have my number one song. We'll play that when we get back. Also, Def Rat Guy
in the hiss
has some news to share with us. Still the One by Shania Twain just was on the line. Fiddler on the Roof, Sunrise Sunset, One Night in Bangkok.
I'd be cool with my dad playing that.
Especially the part where he gives you the bio on the city, Bangkok, Oriental City.
Dirty little town. If you've been to one burnout, dirty little Oriental City.
The first words of the song, I think.
All right, let's... see if we get to this one.
God, I remember the song.
Time. Oh. Yep, you just be standing out front of your junior high. I don't know that guy. He just called your name 3 times. Hey, I'm sure there's a lot of Ishmaels who go to this school. Well, no one else is responding.
I usually am always agreeing with Mr. Carolla, but I got to tell you right now, I'd be saying, oh, that's my dad. We just got back from a sex tour.
It's all how you sell it.
Dad's yelling through a megaphone. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with my number one and the Def Rat Guy next.
Adam Carolla Show.
In the day we sweat on campus in the classrooms of USC. At night we ride through sorority mansions with beer chugging machines made from tubes of PVC injected with lager-8 brew capacity. Oh, a 6-beer bong will put moose on his back. A 2-beer bong, Ashley will work your sack and let you shave her rug. But Delta Foos like us, baby, we were born to chug. Born to chug.
Rich Banks has outdone himself. By the way, if you go to AdamCarolla.com, you can download a bunch of these things or put them in as ringtones or whatever you kids are doing. So you could put put Born to Chug on your ringtone. Or you can also see me at the Raiders training camp we were talking about 3 hours ago. It's finally up there. Quickly, before we get to Def Rat Guy, I'll just give you my number one on the Music Monday. It's got the theme from Silver Spoons. He's wearing a yellow sweater, and he has a yellow sweater tied around his shoulders and around his waist.
Yes.
He's wearing 3 yellow sweaters. And he pops out.
He has a golf club, like, slung over his shoulder. We're going to go golfing!
I got the left-handed driver for you, son, because I know that's the side of the tee you hit from. Yeah, and then we're going to see your Hebrew tutor. Yes, no one needs this.
No.
All right. Silver Spoons, my number one song you don't want Pops to play. God, that's horrible. Mav, sorry you had to endure that.
Yeah.
So, Mav, what do you want to talk about this morning?
I want to first say that UFC 75 was a joke. The deaf guy got robbed. He's 21.
Oh, there's a deaf guy fighting in UFC.
Matt Hamill.
Matt Hamill. And he's deaf?
He got robbed.
But he's deaf.
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, so he got robbed at UFC. All right, and it's not, it's too bad.
Hell yeah.
It's too bad when a fellow deaf guy loses in the octagon that way.
He kicked the other guy's asses, but the judge did not give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I look forward to a day when it's people with all handicaps are invited into the octagon. Not just deaf guys, blind guys, guys confined to wheelchairs, guys missing limbs, spina bifida, Down syndrome. You know, where you have like a blind guy going against a guy that has some degenerative bone disease or something.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
The people with the flippers.
A couple blind guys.
The Minimite babies fighting. That'd be nice.
Or progeria, like progeria. Bobby Canning. He's in purple belt.
For honest and for real.
Progeria.
Fought a guy with cerebral palsy. Everybody had to fight him in the local karate tournaments here. Everybody knew who he was. He couldn't use either arm. But his feet were pretty good, but you didn't want to fight him. But he'd flail his arms, and you, like, wanted nothing to do with it. But he really fought every tournament.
Progeria is that disease where the eight-year-olds look like they're 80. Yeah, I'm just saying, I look forward to a day when the octagon doors swing open for all the handicapable people.
But what they told us in jiu-jitsu is that it doesn't matter of the size of the man in the fight, but the man of or whatever.
Right. There's something about a dog in there somewhere.
Yeah, but no, like,
well, it doesn't matter about
but you know, the
size
thing
of
is,
man, it matters about the.
And if Bobby if Bobby can't take you down with a slick submission or armbar, he'll crack a bottle over your head.
Really? He's a badass.
Right on.
I think the word dog has to be brought up at some point when you're doing that cliche. But so he lost, he got robbed, but that's not what you wanted to talk about, right?
I'm proud to announce that I am back at college. I worked things out with my parents and agreed to pay for two more semesters.
Great.
Right, so you'll now be a sixth year senior? Seventh year senior. Oh, over at USC. Well, the team's good. You're entering your seventh season.
The reason I got in, my parents were saying that I had given college a try and it was not for everyone.
Mm.
Right.
But the way I told them, and this is partially true, that I got the job as the understudy for Tommy Trojan.
The guy rides around on the horse when the football team scores?
But what happens if he gets the flu?
Right.
Everybody needs,
an understudy.
Yeah, if he gets bucked off of Traveler, someone's going to have to mount that steed. And you're just a man.
Yep.
So they were very proud.
Uh-huh. Aww. But are you actually the understudy for him?
We're trying to put pressure on the real understudy to have him resign.
I mean, have someone who has a handicap to be involved? I mean, is that factoring in?
No, we told the guy we'd kick his ass
so hard that he
could not sit on the horse.
You remember the way you and I used to go at each other when we hated each other? And I used to make these threats about, I'll be in Cleveland when somebody hits you with a car. Mm-hmm. Now that we're friends, I can make that happen to that guy.
Yeah, you want an accident to happen to the guy? I'll be on stage in front of
5,000 people taking pictures of me in Cleveland when this guy gets hit by a car. I'll get away with it.
Hell yeah, let's do that.
You're my man.
All right, so you told your parents a little bit of a white lie. But
let's get the first guy off to be understudy. I don't care if anybody is listening to this right now.
Right.
I want that job so bad. Tracy came in here and took over the job that was supposed to be mine.
She's just filling in for Teresa.
Yeah, I'm an understudy.
Who's doing TMZ.
He started this with me. I stole his first job.
I was going to be the newsman.
The point is Mav, you're back at school now. You're entering your seventh year over there. What's your major again?
I'm in the process of reconsidering everything.
Well, what was your old major then?
Communications.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Although I don't know anybody that makes a dollar in this business that majored in communications.
Here's the thing. I want to do a new thesis and change my major to environmental studies because I want to. Poochie's uncle has a trawler boat. And what we want to do is take all the guys, Mike F., Smitty, Pucci's uncle, and go down to Mexico and film a documentary about us, but we want to use French fry oil. To power the
boat.
Yeah. Veggie fuel boat.
Okay. Can you help us with this?
Believe it or not, I actually can. I'm in the process of buying a boat and trying to do that. So,
you high?
I'm not. I
really?
Swear.
You're trying to buy a boat and convert it to biodiesel?
Veggie fuel, I swear.
But, Tracy, but what we want to do
have
is
you
make,
started your
I
sorority
make that up.
House
it's a
as house well.
Boat, no less.
Oh my
not
God, it's
me.
A sorority houseboat.
But before the woman that I just walked around like by 6:15 this morning and told everybody I could run into how great she was. I really did. Walked down and wow, this girl's really good. Now I'd like to say you have a better chance to get four or five of you on the bow of that boat, hook into some tuna that happened to be heading towards Mexico, and just hold the F on. Because the corn boat ain't getting you there.
Corn I ever rented.
There's going to be a lot more tuna than this stuff that's in the ocean.
My boy. Let's go out on a high note with that one, because we have to do the news. Tracy Metro's going to be doing it for us. Mav, yes.
Well, you forgot a huge thing. The new t-shirts at deathfratguy.com.
Mm-hmm. What are they? Going to drop a bomb?
I have new colors.
Oh, you do? Oh.
Yeah, people can order them finally. The beer bong funnel. I have them in hot new fall colors.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What are they?
Adam, you explain it better.
Well, it's that Christian fish symbol, but it's made from a beer bong. It's heady stuff.
It's genius.
It really is.
What does it say in the middle?
What does it say in the middle?
Beer bong.
Okay. I forgot about that.
I like that. Very gross.
It said beer bong anyway, even if it didn't say beer bong, but now it screams beer bong. Look, be the first kid on your block. Yeah, go to deafratguy.com and get this t-shirt. It is genius. And there's other good ones on there as well.
This one.
What? Oh, yeah. Cougar Crossing. That's right.
You're a cougar.
Crazy.
But this is going to help us get the boat in the water and us down to Mexico.
And I pledge to help you. I will do whatever I can.
Tease the news, baby girl.
We have got so much info from the VMAs, but you would not believe what the lovely Paris Hilton had to say. So instead of believing it, have a listen to it.
Mm. I've been working with these philanthropists, and I traveled, and I've been doing a lot of charity work with the Los Angeles Children's Hospital and just giving back.
Right. She's giving back, Adam.
Nice. We'll take a quick break. Put her on that biodiesel tuna boat and send it down Mazatlan Way. We'll take a quick break. Be right back.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Take a look at this 10-story treehouse. It's 100 feet tall, has 80 rooms, and made entirely of scrap pieces of wood. The Tennessee man spent 14 years building it by himself and has opened it up to tourists.
And he said he decided to build it after he had a vision from God.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tracy Metro doing a wonderful job filling in for Teresa Strasser, who's hard at work on the TMZ TV show that premieres tonight.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Go to your TMZ.com on the internet and find out your local listings. Tracy, the news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser is on assignment, and now the news with some other broad.
And that some other broad is me. Well, just in case you were wondering, Gary Busey is not getting any saner, Adam. Check out this audio of Gary giving us some of his deep philosophical thoughts. Now, just before we listen to the clip, these deep thoughts of his include the belief that the devil has his claw in America. And just so you know, the devil's claw has not one, not two, not three, but 5 points. One of them is in the government.
The Devil's Claw, by the way, good name for TSV.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. There's one in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
There's also one in the Democratic Party, so nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
One in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And one in or on the middle class. Mm.
Now, the whole claw, that's the paw? The paw is the whole claw, or is that one of the fingers of a paw? Is a paw claw or finger the equivalent to the claw in the paw? Does a paw have five claws?
What in God's holy name are you
blabbing
about?
You know, I just realized something. Actually, that was wrong.
Because the devils can only have four paws.
Okay, well, I screwed up one of the paws or the claws. There's one in the war on the middle class.
Well, you may perhaps, I don't want to tell you how to do the news, but you should pause before you talk about claws.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to pause before I tell you the last claw.
So who did Hercules fight and how many heads did it have?
I don't know.
Hydra, and it had seven, but they kept growing back when you hack them off. So you could have hacked off one and had another. So everybody comes out right.
So there you go.
Right.
Well, and the last one is in illegal immigration. Quite frankly, who cares what we have to say? Let's hear what Gary Busey has to say.
Okay. I want you to know that I think the devil has his claw in America.
Claw.
The devil's claw has 5 points. One point is in the government. One point is in the Republican Party. One point of the claw is in the Democratic Party. One point of the claw is in the war on the middle class. One point of the claw is illegal immigration. Do what you can to fix that stuff.
That's five of the claws in one paw. I got to talk to Gary.
Yeah,
you have mental problems.
I'm going to try to get to the bottom of this claw versus paw controversy.
You're going to get down to the possible facelift problem?
He's about 20 kinds of nuts. And 10 years ago,
right?
10 years ago, Gary was good and nutty. Now he's super ultra nutty.
Yeah.
And these things are sort of like any problem in life, whether it be cancer or a problem you have with your car. They don't fix themselves. They tend to get worse.
Right.
So let's all be prepared for that.
Exactly. And more from Gary Busey in a few minutes.
He lives up in Malibu. Spears spends a lot of time out there. I think we're at the point now where it's not that these guys are getting car crashes or get DUIs or whatever. Celebrities are going to start hitting other crazy celebrities. At a certain point, we've reached our saturation level. There's more crazy, effed up, drugged up celebrities driving around on PCH than there is road
normal
to accommodate them.
Yeah.
I say Gary Busey crashes into Britney Spears on PCH head on. And
who wins?
We all do.
We all do.
Oh.
America.
Yeah.
Nice. So both are gone.
That's right.
Well, speaking of Britney.
As their heads make that cacophony of sound, we are proud to be an American.
Then Gary can talk to the devil himself about his paw versus claw issue.
And who knows, Britney could be one of the claws on the paw. Well, speaking of Britney, she opened up the VMAs last night at the Palms Casino in Vegas. And her performance, though I did not see it last night.
I don't want to correct you, Tracy, but she didn't open it up. It started and she was standing there.
Oh, I like that. Because her performance
was lackluster.
To say she opened
it is unfair. It's like the curtain opened, the lights went on, and she happened to be out on stage. So
I'm here?
Technically, she opened it, but it's really the VMA started and she was hanging out on the stage.
Well, I think what we're listening to is Gimme More, which is the song she just happened to be standing there kind of bopping to ever so slightly. And
she kind of looked like when effed up sorority chicks try to make it back to the house after a good night of booze in a fraternity house or... It's like when you visit people in the hospital and they had some sort of elective surgery and it's like they're coming out of it at 2 in the afternoon and you show up at 2:45 and then when you talk to them 3 days later, they don't remember that you showed up, but they're semi-coherent when you're there.
Yeah.
Like you hand them half a sandwich and they go, thank you. And then later on you go, hey man, you look pretty out of it in the hospital. And they go,
what?
You were there?
Yeah.
That's about what she was in, coming out of an elective surgery. That's where she was.
What elective surgery do you think she had?
Lobotomy.
Oh, okay. Well, according to TMZ and producer Angie, she didn't really seem to be into the performance, as you just said, because she was kind of just there.
Hold on. Danny's showing me something and telling me something, but I didn't hear what it was.
I'm sorry. That is the private number of George Maloof, the owner of the Palms. Not a single stockholder owns the whole place.
Should we talk to George Maloof right now?
I don't know if he'll answer. I just wanted to show the boss I had.
Well, talk to him and find out if he knows what's up with the B-girl.
I'll call him during a break and he has something to say.
Well, we can actually ask him about the other thing that happened at the VMAs that we'll talk about in just 1 second, because I know he was interviewed by the Las Vegas Metro Police.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is shocking to me. This girl forgot the lyrics to her own song.
Well, that's why it's lip-synced, though.
Okay,
it doesn't
maybe
matter.
It's not shocking.
Not like she wrote it.
It's a good point.
Okay, fair enough.
It's barely like she sung it. I mean, she was just in there glazed over, walking around like someone just took a comforter, soaked it in molasses, and just dropped it on her. That's how she was moving. She was about half the speed of everyone around her. She was lip-syncing clearly. They kept cutting away to the audience members who were sort of laughing.
You
or
can
looking,
check it out on TMZ if you didn't catch
dumbfounded.
It last night.
Look, everyone, before you think it's sad, this no talent has made $500 million. Yeah. How much has your dad worked working over at the plant making stamping fenders for the last 30 years before he died?
And
of
that's
some kind
exactly
of
the problem with her, I think, is because
it.
She's making so much money and she has so many people on payola. You know, she's
done fine. She didn't have any talent. This is the way it's supposed to be. People think it's sad when people that don't possess talent get knocked off their high horse. I think it's sad that they ever wasted our time. I don't like the fact that they ever got to make movies or make records
and
or do TV shows.
And that we're talking about her right now.
There you go. Let's never
stop.
Talk about her again until this time tomorrow.
Exactly.
Or the 7 o'clock
Well,
news.
Speaking of George Maloof at his casino last night, the Palms Casino in Vegas, that's where the VMAs were. Kid Rock allegedly clocked Tommy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to rap producer Rich Nice, it looked like Tommy Lee initiated the altercation because Kid Rock was ignoring him. Wah! I'm not being paid attention to. Well, the rap producer said that Kid hit him first, and it was with a backhand, so I think he bitch slapped him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Las Vegas Metro Police cited Kid Rock with a misdemeanor, and P. Diddy was on
it's a huge talent
on stage, and he was about to introduce Kid Rock, and he had this to say.
Y'all know we got to keep this thing going. I'm supposed to be up here with my man Kid Rock, but you know, we got to stop the violence in rock and roll. it's not just the hip-hop artists that sometimes have problems. You know, rock and roll artists, y'all have fights sometimes too. And
right, it's not just the black artists, sometimes it's the white artists who are trying to be black.
That is true. And that is Teresa's news.
Thank you, whoever you are. The news. You, Teresa Strasser.
All right. Well, we'll try to, Danny will call the Maloof and see if we can get any skinny on that. Also, we got Kirk Morrison from the Raiders. Had himself a pick and led the team in tackles yesterday in a very tough loss. We'll talk to him next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
This drive has lasted more than 7 minutes now for the Lions. Can they get into the end zone? Get the back, got time, looks, throws, end zone picked off. It is picked off by Kirk Morrison in the back of the end zone.
And now, Oakland Raiders middle linebacker number 52, Kirk Morrison on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to speak to you, Kirk.
Hey, what's going on?
Nice pick yesterday.
Thank you. Appreciate
Sorry
it.
Sorry about the loss, you guys. It was a close game. I think the Raiders were up 21-20 with not much time left, but Detroit somehow got the win.
Somehow got it.
You guys are going to Denver next week where they basically won with no time left on the clock.
Right.
So it's a couple of teams. One, well, it could have easily been the Raiders up 1-0 and Denver 0-1, really. But it just came out this way. So, Kirk Morrison, a couple things I'm interested in. You are from the Bay Area, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
And your folks had Raiders season tickets for the last 12 years.
Yeah, ever since the Raiders came back in 95, you know, my dad, he sits in the same spot. You know, it's section 325, I think.
So it's the same place. Did you used to go with him when you were a kid?
Yeah, he used to always go. My dad would take me and take the family, and except for the rainy games. It's the rainy games. You know, my stepmom and some of the family didn't want to go in the rain.
Yeah.
I put on my parka and I was ready to go.
That must be such a thrill, huh, for them?
No, I was just thinking.
It was great. No, seriously, because that just let my other friends, you know, who I went to school with, they say, hey, I got a ticket to the Raider game. They're like, they didn't care, you know, what they had on. They'd go out there in a T-shirt. It doesn't matter, even in the rain. So.
But it must be cool for your dad now, because your dad must go around work every Friday and go, oh, by the way, I have an extra ticket for the Raiders game. Why? Because my son is starting at linebacker.
My parents are proud of me every time I don't need bail money. And, that's my big accomplishment.
Are they still sitting in the same seats, or have they gotten like upgraded to some sweet seats?
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, my my mom and dad have been divorced since I was younger. But my dad, we've had the same season tickets forever. He doesn't want to move. He just wants to sit in the same section.
You know what's cool? I was just telling Tracy, she's doing news today for Teresa. And I was just going to hang out by her because she and I don't know that much about sports, and Adam's an expert. But this is one of the most touching stories, period. I've ever, grew up there, went to those seats, and now that's my boy. That's a great friggin' story.
Totally.
Yeah, but the thing is, he doesn't want to move, though. He says he's a celebrity in Section 3.
Right, exactly, because everybody around him, you guys have all sat together for all these years, and then he's like, look at my son!
The only time my dad ever said, that's my boy, it was a lineup.
Yeah, that's him, that's my boy. Yes, I'll testify. I'll prosecute. So, Kirk, yesterday, you guys got the loss, but you led the defense last year. And what people don't realize about the Raiders, who didn't have a great last year, they were number 3 overall in defense, which is pretty damn good. So it wasn't the problem on the defensive side of the ball. It's the offense that needs to get it together a little bit. What do you think your chances are this year?
This year, we're just trying to make sure we're all on the same page. And when I say on the same page, is that we're all work as one, offense, defense, and even our special teams, because in all three phases of the game, you have to be on the same page. You guys have to work together, because one side can't, outweigh the other. And, definitely yesterday was an indication of, when you have to finish a football game on all three phases of the game. And we just didn't finish the game yesterday. So I think now we have to keep working and keep working to play that game where all three phases, play hard and play and finish all the way through.
Please. Well, you guys, any predictions on the Denver game coming up this weekend?
My prediction is it's going to be a different team that showed up yesterday against Detroit, because, we started off slow. Our first game, our first home game, it was a heartbreaking loss for us, but I'm glad we got that out the way early. Because now we got to learn from it, we're going to build from it, and we're going to go out. And what a better way to get your first victory on the road in Denver. I mean, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, a lot of guys. And they don't do a whole lot of losing up there in Mile High.
Right. So we got to bring our best game with us. And I think that, that's a place where we can go out and really establish who we're going to be as a football team this year.
Well, Kirk Morrison, linebacker for the Oakland Raiders, congratulations on the pick and the 9 tackles. And by the way, Kirk, if you want to go, this is before your time over there at the Raiders, but if you want to go to AdamCarolla.com, you can see me try out for the Raiders about 6 years ago on The Man Show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm sure you're running to your computer.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, please. Kirk, we'll talk to you next week. And please, let's have a victory against those pariahs known as the Denver Broncos.
Most definitely.
Thank you.
We'll do.
Kirk Morrison, everyone, we'll take a quick break. Be right back to wrap it up. Well, I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Sean William Scott, Mr. Woodcock in theaters this Friday, Lee Steinberg, Super Agent, just for being Lee. Def Rat Guy, defratguy.com is where you go. Get yourself a Christian Fish Beer Funnel t-shirt, and I'll see you in hell. Kirk Morrison, the Oakland Raiders, playing at Denver out here on our mother station, KLSX. That's right. We'll be carrying the proceedings live, so tune in. KLSX Radio out here in SoCal. Listen to Kirk Morrison smash some Denver ass. And I know that sounded gay. Teresa Strasser, our own Teresa Strasser on TMZ TV. Tonight, go to TMZ.com for local listings. And, of course, Tracy Metro for doing a wonderful job. Nice job, Tracy Metro.
Thank
go
you,
to
Adam.
TracyMetro.com. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Did you just snort?